Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, the 28th day of December 2016. I'm your host, Alex Jones. This is going to be a transmission that will be long remembered. But first, let's look at the economic warfare. We're all under attack to understand exactly who the enemy is. The theme of 2016 has been the triumph of individual will coming together for destiny on our side. On the enemy side, it has been one of abject delusion and arrogance.
Now, having said all this, why aren't I 50 points ahead, you might ask?
This is not the outcome we wanted or we worked so hard for. And I'm sorry that we did not win this election for the values we share and the vision we hold for our country.
The enemy's confidence is one of its greatest weaknesses, and they're about to learn that in spades. People always say, oh, Wall Street's pure evil on the left, on the right. No, Wall Street can do no wrong. No. Big mega banks and big brokerage firms that are above the law, pushing gun control, pushing globalism, pushing transferring our sovereignty into international bodies, they control is conquest, is crony capitalism, is wrong. But most of Wall Street is middle and small-time firms, and even some big ones that are family-owned, controlled, that do want prosperity, and they're doubling down on Trump. They want the prosperity. They want the boom. They want the tax cuts. And the word is Trump's going to freeze spending in the first year just to stabilize things. And he is intending by year four to begin cutting. And by the way, what he wants to do, he's going to try. This isn't talk. You're going to see if he gets his way and we get behind him. Cutting spending while revenue swells. And of course, Krugman is flipping out today, saying this is an administration of white nationalists. Guess what he said in the New York Times in 1998? You cannot make this up. This is when dinosaur media was telling itself, don't worry, get an article about the internet. We're still going to be dominant. Remember back in the late 90s, the media was discussing would they be made obsolete, which has now happened? This is Ed Paul Krugman. The growth of the internet will slow drastically as the flaw in the law, McAfee's law, which states that the number of potential connections in a network is proportional to the square of the number of participants, because apparently most people have nothing to say to each other. By 2005 or so, it will become clear that the internet's impact on the economy has been no greater than the fax machine. Now, he made that sound real scientific and real smart, like an economist would. Was giving you a false system. But has the internet gotten bigger or smaller? It's gotten tens of thousands of times logarithmically, exponentially bigger. And they say it's only going to get bigger as it ties into the Internet of Things exponentially as well, by the very architecture of how the internet was built. And by the early 1990s, all the big tech giants had already envisioned the current system we're under. But Krugman writes a piece of trash a couple times a week, sits around getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, and thinks he's a rocket scientist. We don't need make-work projects and infrastructure because it looks like he's hiring people that are going to privatize. That's what you've been doing, chump. Giving the contracts to private companies is how we're going to get the jobs going, not just shipping it overseas or paying off debts that don't exist. You know, all these monolithic fiat derivatives debts that should just be triaged. U.S. economic confidence surges to the highest level that Gallup in 100-plus years has ever recorded. And they're already announcing they're going to raise interest rates. They've already done it once to try to stall this. But now that it's not just globalists going to give themselves all the 0% money, time for the people to get some of that. And Trump wants to keep it low. They say, oh, the economy's overheating. Trump's been president-elect for 40 days. He'll be in at 29, and we can't allow an overheating. So we're just going to have to raise it maybe two or three more times before he gets in, hoping it ends this Trump run. Crony capitalism is not letting us compete so we can be controlled. It's ending. That's why they're so mad. The globalists have been selling off this country and talking about what geniuses they are for decades. No, what you are is a bunch of backstabbing traitors that sold out the country that had over half the world's wealth till you got control of it. Oh, yeah, comprende that. This is the InfoWar, ladies and gentlemen. We're live. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the other side of this short break. days.
The heart of 1776.
You're a white male!
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
Move, bitch! Get out the way!
We pledge allegiance to one flag, and that flag is the American flag.
InfoWars helped fuel the rumor that President Obama is an ISIS supporter.
It's been a cozy relationship from the beginning.
I will not let you down. You'll be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Waging war on corruption. It's
Alex Jones.
We are now only 22 days out from the seating of the 45th president of the United States of America. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours on this global transmission Wednesday, the 28th day of December, 2016. Again, I'm your host, Alex Jones. Paul Watson will be hosting the fourth hour of Overdrive, all the latest breaking news and information. And I'll be here for the next 3 hours. Okay, I have done a lot of preparation for today's transmission. There's a lot of news I didn't get to yesterday that I've got to cover today, and I've got to get to today's news. It is all so incredibly important. Now, I said I'd do this yesterday, and I did cover it some, but I'm really, at the bottom of the hour, going to break down this whole AI revolution takeover that is designed to be anti-human and designed to displace the population. I know you know that, but I want to really put out an emergency warning to folks with the latest intel. So that's bottom of the hour. I will absolutely cover it. So stay with us for that. That said, Obama is preparing to announce military action, cyber attacks, and new sanctions any day now against Russia in an attempt to create a huge diplomatic crisis ahead of President Trump getting into office. And I've got to tell you, Obama's acting like they never intend for Trump to get into office. The shoot down clearly with a surface-to-air missile of the Russian airliner. That's three they've shot down the last year and a half. And then, of course, ISIS releases videos of them firing the missiles. Russia keeps saying it's not terror because Russia doesn't want to be drawn into a larger war with NATO. The killing of the Russian ambassador, other diplomats, now the killing of one of the top people in NATO yesterday, executed in Belgium on the side of the street. This Cold War is starting to go hot. Russia just signed a deal with Turkey and with Syria for peace. This has the globalists in Saudi Arabia very upset. They plan to topple that nation. That's why Obama's gone next level. Regardless of what you think about Israel, this is meant to destabilize the world and cause a large Middle East war that will kill the economy. Bare minimum, could lead to a nuclear war. If anyone's successful, Israel's stated operation is the Samson option to nuke all of their enemies if Israel begins to fall. That means if Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and other areas are being overrun and if military bases are being overrun, Israel has a total commitment in the Mediterranean and in the Persian Gulf to have their submarines surface and fire short, medium, and long-range ballistic missiles and cruise missiles. 400's the old number. The word is Israel's got over 600 modern hydrogen bombs, hydrogen warheads. To give you an example of what a modern weapon system does, it's between 50 and 200 times stronger than the A-bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And if the fallout cloud comes your way, you are going to be dying in a couple days of excruciating pain as all of your fast-growing cells die and blood pours out of every orifice. Of course, the Bible says that World War III will begin in Israel and will start in Syria. And it appears Obama is trying to make that happen. And the establishment churches are doing nothing to stop it. They're like, praise Jesus, end of the world's here. Scotty's going to beam us up any minute. We'll be up there with Captain Kirk and Spock and the Archangel, Keebler. But you're not going to fight the abortion or the devil worship or the mark of the beast. No, no, no. And God's going to say, I don't know you. But those little devils that run your churches, they will certainly say they know you, won't they? So that's coming up today. And meanwhile, we've got people like Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes are hard to tell apart, on state-sponsored, government-funded, oh yeah, they get more government funds than NPR, MSNBC. He's worried that Trump could, quote, literally, this is a quote, literally trigger nuclear Armageddon while Obama does everything he can with Soros to destabilize all the Middle East, Africa, Eastern Europe, into Central Asia. Turkey and Pakistan are doing missile tests against each other. North Korea is running around with its tongue hanging out. There's been major realignments with the U.S. and Japan and Russia. China is aligned with other BRICS nations and is openly threatening to invade islands in the South China Sea. I mean, it's getting wild. And don't worry, there's always the inversion of reality, a bunch of racist, fascistic, pseudo-intellectual frauds like Chris Hayes are running around saying Trump wants war when Trump, even top liberal professors that are the heads of universities have come out and said, look, I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. Trump wants detente. I'm for Trump. Remember those clips on CNN? You'd never see those professors back again. They'd say, the left is 10 times worse than McCarthy ever was. This is crazy. You're starting wars everywhere. Cy Hirsch, big liberal, comes on this show, talks about how our own military has been blocking Obama starting World War III for 4 years. Cy Hirsch, Pulitzer Prize winner, coming on this show because he knows the intelligence agencies listen, and he wanted to thank this show and the patriots and our government and the Russian government from stopping a nuclear war, ladies and gentlemen. But you see, the globalists are mad. They're trying to go full steam ahead. So here is the complete upside down.
Trump's comments about nuclear weapons have experts worried he could literally inadvertently trigger a catastrophe. Imagine we're in a crisis. If he recklessly tweets, people could read these things in the worst possible light, nuclear nonproliferation expert Jeffrey Lewis told the Washington Post, adding the North Koreans have a plan to use nuclear weapons very early in a conflict. They're not going to wait around. Joining me now, Charlie Pierce, writer-at-large for Esquire. And Charlie, you know, I have not thought as much about nuclear weapons in a long time as I have been thinking about them in the last few weeks.
These people are such hack frauds that they sit up there with well-known leftist writers who in the past would tell the truth. And now they sit there and act like it's Trump and the nationalist movements worldwide that are bringing us to the edge of war when it's the globalists who've always held the planet hostage since the 40s to the threat of nuclear war if we don't give over national sovereignty. Basically, the Rothschilds, who would finance all sides of major wars, sometimes up to three sides in Europe, learned, why not just use the wars to bring the planet to the edge of total destruction and then hold everyone hostage and say, capitulate to this big multinational group of banks or you're going to die in a larger global conflict. Enter the doomsday option. Let's play another clip, though. This is where Krauthammer speaks some truth to all this. What does the UN do? Saudi Arabia and several other Gulf despotic states that wrote the book on slave labor, slave harems, black slavery, total oppression, public executions for no reason. Women are allowed to be raped, and if they complain, they're charged with the rape, with adultery. The men aren't. They're on the UN Human Rights Board, and they're the states that are now voting to go after Israel. And I'm going to explain something to everybody that has been brainwashed to hate Israel just out of hand. Do you understand that this will cause a wider war and Israel isn't going anywhere unless there's a nuclear war. And that'll really put a little bit of a crimp in the whole thumb-at-the-mouth anti-Israel diatribe. Just like I'm against war with Russia. Doesn't mean Russia's perfect. Doesn't mean Russia doesn't have its problems. Russia's not starting anything right now. Israel's a little bitty tiny country, expanding a few square miles a year into land they took back in the 60s. Meanwhile, the Muslims have invaded Syria and are stealing tons more land and murdering people en masse, and I don't hear a word out of the left or the trendy ultra-right wing or anybody. Because you're not intellectuals. All you know how to do is say Zionist, Zionist, Zionist until I want to throw up. Let's go ahead and play this clip of Krauthammer saying, hey, let's just get rid of the UN, let's pull out of it, and I totally agree.
Americans are not aware of the fact that we pay about a quarter of the freight of the UN. So we're paying
22%, something like
we're
that.
Paying an organization that spends half its time, more than half its time, and energy and resources and bureaucracy trying to attack the only Jewish state on the planet, a tiny little speck, while genocide, mayhem, murder, terrorism is going on all over the world. It's an obsession that to an outside observer appears to be insane. Why are we doing this? And the rest of the time is spent undermining the United States and democracy and our allies around the world. It is an organization that exacerbates tensions. It does not assuage them. It was born in hope. The end of the Second World War turned out to be a disaster. Any move to minimize our support for it, any move to get it out of the U.S. Imagine if headquarters were in Zimbabwe, the amount of weight and coverage it would get would be zero. I think that's good real estate in downtown New York City, and Trump ought to find a way to put his name on it and turn it into condos.
Krauthammer just told the truth there completely. I mean, Israel's not perfect. Israel has had some human rights abuses. Israel has, you know, bombed civilian populations with high-tech weapons. But after they're attacked, I mean, in World War II, we bombed non-military targets like Dresden and killed a 500,000 people in one night because they didn't know the bombers were coming. And I'm not saying that was a good thing. The point is that there's no measurement of the craziness of Islam and the millions it's killing every year and the total enslavement, and then these same dirtbags that are attacking us and doing all these horrible things and running over people, pointed us in, with this moral high ground and talk about Israel all day. It's ridiculous. The UN itself, just Google UN sex trade, UN murder. I've read New York Times articles where they admit the UN goes into African countries and is trying to push villagers off their land because they're going to make their land a carbon sink, meaning if the government's going to have a mine over here, you know, on 1,000 acres, they've got to take 10,000 acres off, literally. And so they just go in, and if the villagers don't leave, the UN troops mow them down. And the New York Times was, boy, there's some excesses in saving the earth, but maybe it's worth it. What? See, we're not humanizing the thousands of villagers. I mean, I'm talking sometimes per town. Just look into the UN in Burma, and I mean, they admittedly in one week killed 4,000 people. It's like 20 years ago, but it's a well-known example. Just to take their land for a mine. Oh, but they called it an environmental preserve. 9 times out of 10, you hear that with, say, Save Our Springs in Austin. They took 20,000, then 30,000, another 10,000. I mean, it's something like 60,000+ acres they took west of Austin and south of Austin, beautiful prime real estate from farmers and ranchers and loggers, cedar choppers is what they're called, and took it off limits for 4 or 5 years and then turned around and built huge mansions all over it and golf courses. And the point is they stole it. They took it by adverse possession and didn't pay people 2 cents on the dollar what it was worth. Then they turned around a few years later and sold it off to their friends. And mayors like Kirk Watson that presided over it would then become state senators. I've personally seen this at point blank range. So here's the deal. You can't just say Israel does some heavy-handed things and then sit there and watch people blow their kids up and just ignore it. And then there's this bubble of mind control by the corporate media, the universities, the liberals, and everybody, where hating Israel, I mean foaming at the mouth about Israel, becomes their religion. So I'm going to get to the latest on Russia, the latest on the economy. I'm going to play excerpts of Obama's Pearl Harbor speech that was so true, so beautiful, so powerful, written by another famous speechwriter. They admit that. And it makes you want to love Obama, but you got to remember everything he stands for in action is the opposite of what he's pushing. I will play it in the third hour because I was driving home listening to it on Fox, on XM, and I got home and even stopped and listened to the end of it, and it was bringing tears to my eyes because it was so beautifully written, but it's the opposite of what Obama stands for. So there's that paradox where he sounds good, and then his proxies run around and do all these horrible, evil things. So that's coming up. Also, Daria, who speaks fluent Russian, has taken a big Russian national TV show I was on last week. And she's taken some excerpts of it and translated it into English because I found it more interesting what the hosts are saying, not what I'm saying. So most of it is what they had to say. We're going to be playing that coming up. You know what? We're going to do it in this hour. Because it ties into what Putin's talking about, and you know, Putin coming out and saying, quit being sore losers, Democrats, you're absolutely pathetic. You know, you lost 900 seats in your state houses, you lost Senate seats, House seats, you lost a bunch of governors, records. I mean, record collapse, total realignment politically, despite Democrat fraud everywhere. They knew the realignment was coming. It's why they were so panicked. Oh, we're going to win. Trump's a fraud. He's a racist. Oh, it's going to be a landslide. Oh, we're going to shut the free press down once we get in, though. And notice they lost. And so they are in total war mode now. That's coming up. But speaking of race garbage, almost all white supremacist groups that I've encountered and protested more than 20 times, it later comes out, are led by federal informants who are felons and who work for the FBI. Sometimes they are actual FBI, Southern Poverty Law Center, or ADL. I mean, it's crazy. I've gone out and protested the Klan and Aryan Nations and people, and you're like, literally, that guy genetically looks like he was born in Israel. I mean, it's crazy. It's like the false flags of the black guy that put the N-word on the neighbor's garage, or the Islamic women who keep admitting they lied. Nobody said stuff to them because they were wearing hijabs. False flags are what goes on. And man, I've gone out, we've got the film somewhere around here, and I'm like, this looks like the cast of Seinfeld up here in Nazi uniforms. And then later it comes out that's exactly what's happening. I'm not anti-Israel, but I don't like leftist Jews running around dressed up in Nazi outfits, stirring up racial tension in the country so they can bring in a race war and then their communist utopia that the left's pushing, like the Jewish communist professor who has now made Reuters, Pennsylvania professor under fire for white genocide tweet. White communist professor advocates white genocide at Drexel University, and he has a class called The Problem of Whiteness. Similar classes are taught nationwide, saying, all I want for Christmas is white genocide. So let's get down to facts. Montana lawmakers denounce plans for neo-Nazi rally, and they're calling for it to basically be banned, and they're calling for violence against it. Now notice, real liberals always put up with the dumbass KKK, excuse me, Lord, with the moronic, idiotic KKK going around acting like fools. And for 30, 40 years, there's been almost no real KKK. It's admitted more feds at a KKK rally or meeting than there, you know, are actual KKK morons. And again, the other little splinter Nazi groups and stuff, it almost always turns out are leftist run, communist run, left-wing Jewish run, you name it, to create a climate of race fear so they can all play the part of victims. So that's why the white supremacist groups online hate me so much, is they're admittedly Southern Poverty Law Center ADL front groups. Quote, you cannot eat here. Hawaii Cafe riles residents with ban on Trump voters. Please, if you aren't for free speech and you don't support elections in this country, please tell me. Those that, of course, it's discriminatory, but that's fine. I want to discriminate against you with not bringing you my money. So please tell me that I'm not welcome. if you vote for Trump, you cannot eat here. No Nazis. Well, you're the ones acting like Nazis, saying you want to resist service. Oh, but, you know, just like Trump's anti-Semitic, and now we're told he works for Israel because he doesn't want to blow Israel off the map. You cannot eat here. Hawaii Cafe riles residents with ban on Trump votes. Ties into Montana lawmakers basically denounce plans for neo-Nazi rally. And they say you will find no safe haven. It goes on. CNBC's John Harwood blames white fear for dim shrinkage under Obama. Well, I mean, there might be some of that because it's open war on white people by the establishment. But most minorities aren't stupid. They understand this is total attempted division being played here by a desperate group. But you do add it to the funding of professors all over the country, mainly white. I've seen the countless videos we played of like black and Hispanic students with their mouths hanging open as, you know, some white guy gets up and goes, whites are inherently evil and need to be eradicated. You're an effing white male. Well, you're an effing white male. This is insanity. This is the essence of mindless racism. I mean, just look at this little sniveling nerd white professor. White communist professor advocates white genocide. Communists always use racial division in racially diverse countries. They'll use religious division in others. It's called divide and conquer. And this guy thinks he's smarter than you. Foundation-funded operatist probably doesn't even believe what he says. What a sniveling piece of trash. We'll be back with the big news on Obama gearing up for war with Russia ahead of Trump getting in.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
By the way, folks are calling Trump a genius because he bypasses the mainstream media using his Twitter and his own press conferences directly to the people. I think that's what you call common sense when the mainstream media doesn't have hardly any viewers and are known liars and are known to spin everything you say. That's why I refuse almost all interviews with MSM now, because it's a complete waste of time and they have dwindling audiences. I recently did one with a Vice producer because he is the only libertarian left on Vice and has done some fairer reports. And he basically admitted to me, yeah, if I don't have some negative stuff on you here, they're not going to air it. And I said, that's fine. I don't care. You know, in fact, I said, I'm not going to do this on purpose, but I said, I tend to act goofy up here at night. You know, he wanted me to go around and talk about art that was hanging on the walls. And I was just completely myself and didn't put on an act. And I wasn't geeking out for Vice. I just don't care. By the way, I keep getting calls about this every day. People in the hallways that listen to the Joe Rogan podcast or watch it. It's an example of how the old media is dying. Joe's been doing his podcast for like 10 years. It's huge. Tens of millions of people a week watch it. And I've been friends with Joe since like 1998. Know him very, very well. Hung out with him countless times. He's gotten me tickets and gotten me into, you know, any UFC I wanted to see. So he's a great guy. And he just keeps saying, I'm told his newest one is, Alex, why aren't you on the show? Why aren't you here? I'm calling you out. Come on the podcast. I don't know if it's a game or what's going on. I got three phone numbers for Joe Rogan. And I text message him and he doesn't respond. And then when I come on the air and talk about it, he says, hey, I'm here. Come on whenever you want. We'll open the place up at 2 a.m. And then I text back and I say, okay, I'm planning to be out in L.A. in the middle of January taking care of business. I'm ready to come on. Here's this week. No response. So I text him 5-6 more times. I'll show you the text. He doesn't respond back and then says, where's Alex Jones? So I know he gets a lot of phone calls. He's got a lot of cell phones. People give out a cell phone all the time. He's having to get new ones. I'm sure it's lack of communication or something. But Joe, you... I've already got stuff going on now, and I got to go out to Florida, and I got to go to some other places, obviously, the next few weeks. But let's say in February, you name the time, Joe. This is how it works. Joe Rogan, you name the time, any day of the week, anytime you want. I'm on a plane to Los Angeles to come on your podcast. Boom, it's done. So the ball's in your court. Love you, Joe. Haven't seen Joe in about a year since he was here in town. I mean, I always interview him when he's here. Never been on his podcast. When I think for 10 years, I get talked about on every podcast. So whatever. Joe's a real sweetheart. He's a super smart guy. Host of UFC, movie star, host of Fear Factor, For That News Radio. One of the top five comedians in the country. He sells out stadiums of 20,000 people routinely. 20,000. Okay, let's stop right there. He's about as big as Dave Chappelle. But again, he's been around so long and got big so slow. It's kind of like this broadcast. People still don't. I still have people on the street 5 or 6 times the last week ask me, are you still doing your show and what's your day job? And I'm like, yeah, I reach about 41 million people a week conservatively. I got a day job. I'm a wheat farmer. Or, yeah, I'm a school teacher at my day job. It's just funny. But I kind of like that, you know? I've just been here for 20 years. We've been reaching a lot of people for 20 years. It's exponentially growing. And we had 85 million people tune in conservatively over the election week, and people ask me, what is my day job? I like that. I actually kind of do. It's funny. It's funny. Okay, I said I'd get into AI. I just said I'd get into Russia. There's just too much on the plate, and I've got a guest coming up. It looks like the third hour is going to be a bunch of clips and really some of the key parts of this broadcast. So I want to just illustrate the deception of Obama. Play his very eloquent, thought-provoking speech at Pearl Harbor. I mean, it's something I would have written, or that you would have written. Somebody that really loves America. And it's coming out of this guy's mouth that wants to kill this country on record. The devil masquerades as an angel of light, doesn't he? You know, I still hear people bashing Japan for Pearl Harbor. Folks, I'm not defending what the Japanese did, and they were brutal to our troops. They did a lot of bad things. They're an arrogant country, but great people, but arrogant elites. We killed conservatively 8-9 million Japanese, and they killed maybe 150,000 Americans. I think we got even. They punched us in the nose, and we bashed their brains out and basically chopped them up in little pieces. Okay, they broke our nose. We cut them up in little pieces and dropped A-bombs on them. And I hear people 70-plus years later shooting their mouths off about the Japanese need to apologize and all this. They have apologized countless times. And I'm just personally sick of the Japanese bashing. And I had, my dad had family, you know, who died fighting the Japanese. The whole point is they were an honorable enemy overall compared to the globalists that creep around in the dark. I don't know why I digress on that front. I just constantly hear that, oh, you know, they don't apologize, or what's that prime minister doing there? He was there laying a wreath and paying his respects. This happened almost 80 years ago. 1941. And Japan is our big ally now against China. And Trump knows that. And it's a very good thing. Because China is going to be the big enemy, folks. You can mark your words. That's why Obama is trying to start a war right now with Russia. And, folks, this news is so big, so out of control, so real, that I don't feel like I'm doing any of this justice. I know you feel the same way. I mean, we're sitting here, those of us that are politically engaged, politically informed, those of us that care, those of us that know about the different geopolitical systems. And Pakistan and India are threatening to kill each other and having missile tests, and North Korea is more out of control than ever with some snot-nosed crazy person running it. Kim Jong-un. I see the same arrogance in Obama's eyes. They're clearly shooting down Russian aircraft using their proxy armies. Surface-to-air missiles. They're clearly killing their ambassadors. And Obama says they're about to retaliate against Russia for the imaginary hacking, which they admit wasn't physical. They say Russian propaganda affected the U.S. RT hasn't had me on, other than Max Kaiser's show, and he's produced by AP, So that's how that's able to happen. I was banned off RT 4 years ago because they had their license in the U.S. threatened by the State Department. And I told you all that. People are like, oh, yeah, right, Alex. Like the State Department's involved in what you're doing on air. Notice my name is named by Hillary. I'm named by the president. I'm named in Congress. They signed a law Friday night saying they're going to put the Board of Governors of the FCC under the control of the Defense Department, the State Department, and the CIA, and they're coming after Drudge, Breitbart, and InfoWars. They're talking about banning the president off Twitter. This is serious business, folks. I don't just say these things. They'd have me on RT every week, and it's not that big an audience, RT America. It's on in, like, hotel rooms and a few cable systems. I mean, you know, cable's not big. There's thousands of channels. I told you Glenn Beck's thing would fail, being, you know, channel 2000 or something. I mean, I've been on big cable shows, almost no response. It's just not an audience. So I didn't even care when I went on RT, but they've said, we can't have you anymore. This is off record. We've been threatened, blah, blah, blah. RT wouldn't even get involved in our election. It had a bunch of, like, almost pro-Hillary crap on it. Now, the foreign RT is gigantic because people trust it more, and it's on broadcast TV in Europe, in the UK. I mean, it's on everywhere. You go in bars and restaurants in London, RT's on. There's not a Russian in there. That's different. That's huge. Hundreds of millions of viewers a week. But the point is that they've been involved for a long time claiming Russia's involved domestically when Russia has almost no footprint here politically. I mean, they've got one of the weakest propaganda corps in the world. China's got tens of thousands of front companies. Their propaganda is in every big movie you see, folks. Rogue One's full of it. You name it, The Martian, Arrival, on and on and on. The Politburo in every episode saves America and saves the world. I mean, this is admitted. A close second, Saudi Arabia, involved in our politics. The Pope, the Vatican, with all the millions of Catholics being told to vote against Trump. This was crazy foreign multinational intervention against Americans trying to get Americana back. And we were all told it was our fault and that we were Russian agents. And now, Washington Post, the big propaganda organ, Obama administration is close to announcing measures to punish Russia for election interference. The Obama administration is close to announcing a series of measures to punish Russia for its interference in the 2016 presidential election. It's not just being stated as facts. See, kind of like Obamacare is free and 2+2 equals whatever they say and you didn't build your business and nobody wants your guns. See, the media has gone from lying to pure lying. The Obama administration is close to announcing a series of measures to punish Russia for its interference in the 2016 presidential election, including economic sanctions and diplomatic censure, according to U.S. officials. The administration is finalizing the details, which are expected to be include covert action that will probably invoke cyber operations, involve cyber operations, the officials said. An announcement on the public elements of the response could come as early as this week. They are going to openly start turning the power off in Russia, folks. And they've got it embedded in chips worldwide and starting a war ahead of Trump getting in. And Russia's sitting there with their planes being shot down, their diplomats being killed, their ambassadors being killed, just being punched in the face. Gonna do something? Boom. Gonna do something? Gonna do something? Gonna do something? Russia's just sitting there with its country on the verge of collapse, infiltrators all over the place, all these countries surrounding it with jihad attacks, and just sitting there taking it, racing, waiting for Trump to get in, hoping he takes the foot off Russia's neck. And they're going to shoot down more planes the next 22 days. They're going to launch. They're going to kill more ambassadors. They're going to, and I guess Russia is going to probably start killing NATO people. To understand, it's NATO and the globalists and the EU that have hijacked America. Russia understands the players. You go on national Russian TV, that they think the people that advise Putin are on there explaining the whole thing. They get it completely. And U.S. intelligence gets what's happening. We've been hijacked by a multinational combine that wants to get us into a war with Russia. That sold us out to communist China. Now I want to hit all the AI news that I keep not getting to that's absolutely so critical into the next hour, and then I'll get back into all this. We have a guest joining us who's always excellent when it comes to geopolitical analysis, James Wesley Rawls. formerly with Army Intelligence. I want to see where he thinks all this is going. We're also going to open the phones up for your questions or comments on this Russia situation specifically. You think I'm wrong? Think I'm right? Got something to add? Think I'm on the payroll of Israel because I don't want to have a nuclear war? Or maybe Russia. Maybe I'm on their payroll. You got to, you know, it's always somebody new each week. I just thought I wanted to have peace and security for my kids and wanted to have a nation based on justice. Now, we've got a special we're extending right through to New Year's Day, but it will end New Year's Day. Free shipping, store-wide, InfoWarsStore.com, whether it's non-GMO, heirloom, open-pollinated seeds, or whether it's solar power and crank power, shortwave, and weather radios, or whether it's all sorts of quality preparedness items, the highest quality thermal sleeping bags, tents, storable foods, you name it, it's there. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of items. Free shipping. And we have also 30 to 25% off on hundreds and hundreds of items. Living Defense, 30% off. Supermill Vitality, which is about to sell out, 30% off. Silver Bullet, that is sold out. Brain Force is about to sell out, 33% off. Winter Sun Vitamin D3, 25% off. Survival Shield X2, 30% off. BioTrue Selenium, 30% off. And again, we've sold out of Silver Bullet, Super Blue, fluoride-free toothpaste, DNA Force, Child Ease, Biome Defense, 50 billion active. We have the 25 billion. It's just the half strength. It's also half the cost. Highest quality system out there to get your gut flora in proper alignment because of all the chemicals and herbicides and pesticides that are in our food. It kills our gut flora and just leaves the bad guys in there. That's why Biome Defense and a good probiotic is so key. We have that in the 25 billion strain. We have Supermel Vitality is about to sell out. Brain Force about to sell out. Living Defense about to sell out. BioTrue Selenium about to sell out. Survival Shield about to sell out because we like to get rid of the inventory so we don't have to pay inventory tax that Texas has. It calls it a franchise tax. It's a property tax on businesses. That's why car dealerships in Texas have the best deals at the end of the year. Yeah, that's why everything is 30 to 40 to 50% off. Our lowest is 25% off. We've got 30% off on the liver cleanse detox that goes with the oxy powder where you take the 5 to 6 pills, the high level oxygen that flushes out your upper and lower intestine with the liver cleanse. And it is for myself personally and others, you just go research it. The gallstones, the rest of it is pretty darn spectacular on the sixth day. So you can see Leanne McAdoo and others break that down at InfoWarsLife.com or InfoWarsStore.com. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139. Free shipping store-wide and a ton of specials, including that detox special with the liver cleanse, liver shield with the oxy powder. InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. By the way, I didn't mention half the specials that are up there because of time constraints. You don't just get free shipping. You sign up for auto ship on things that obviously you want to reorder, like high-quality, organic, high-mountain coffee from Chiapas, southern Mexico. It's like better than Guatemalan coffee. That's something that's auto-ship. Vitamin B12, Secret 12, that's something you'd want on auto-ship. Supermel Vitality, you want on auto-ship. You can cancel any time. An additional 10% off. Get it reshipped every 30 days, every 60 days, every 90 days. InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. And we have, obviously, the globalists trying to censor us, trying to block us. Your prayers are key. Your support. Spreading the word about our videos, our articles. You are the unstoppable force. When you share the videos, when you share the articles, when you send them out on your email, when you post them to your Facebook or Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, get on the enemy platform to use it. Follow us at Real Alex Jones. Get on Facebook. Don't give it any info about you. Just hammer it with resistance. This is a war. A new kind of war, an info war. We're winning it and reestablishing the republic against the globalist multinationals that have hijacked the world. And the process of digging them out is now taking place, and we have the momentum and the initiative because we're exposing the fact that globalists are a foreign multinational power. That's why they claim we're that, because they always inverse reality. We'll be back. launch into the technocracy. What's important to understand here is the heart of the matter that we have to look at is that there is a planned, organized global economic system being put in place where centralized AI computers are pre-programmed to control populations and to consolidate control over humanity and to phase out humanity. That is the predetermined, programmed goal of the modern technocracy that the globalists are establishing. And I made the film in 2006, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, that shows the quotes, the books, the statements, the history of the modern globalist movement. So the end game of their global governance is this metamorphosis and this transcendence into this omnipresent computer hive mind that disseminates itself into a smart dust to cover the planet and as a new god to control the evolution of humanity. You're going, whoa, that's Johnny Depp's movie a few years ago about AI. Exactly, they're throwing it in your face. The AI's good, it's going to take over, but you're bad and have to be exterminated to save the Earth so the new species can move forward, and most of you are profane, you don't deserve to move forward. This is the official battle plan, Ray Kurzweil, the globalist, it's all public. And I'm going to show you some news articles where they break all this down here in a moment. But first off, remember when I was telling you 20 years ago about cover up your webcam, it's watching you. Don't get OnStar, the FBI dials in without warrants to listen to you. When Facebook came out a decade ago, I pointed out it was really a CIA front company to get a database on everybody and then to practice AI computer systems to wire in everything you do to control your life. And now they admit all of this. Google admits it's an AI plan hatched 18 years ago. It's all being made public. And they're rolling out exactly what I said in my police state films, not because I was some really smart guy. They were writing this in white papers and telling us what they would do. Now they're coming out with little AI imperial probe droids with all the major companies, Facebook, Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and admitting these little devices in your house with Microsoft, its video game consoles. And in Microsoft's words, they want to dominate your life, dominate your household, and have this centralized system control all of your smart appliances that just so happen to be rolling out at this time and just so happen to interface with all these. Oh, but now there's a hacking problem, so we've all got to have an internet ID to stop all of this from happening and have a smarter AI computer in our house that can protect our home from the AI systems of other governments and corporations and companies that are going to try to break in. So it's an AI race now to keep ourselves safe from the hackers, from the corporations, and the other AI systems. So they lay the Trojan horse out on the plane. We bring the Trojan horse in to the nest. And then it begins to take over our lives and run every facet of what we do, making the old humans we were obsolete because we're so domesticated, so stupid, and even learn how to enjoy our own destruction and learn how to be phased out. We adapt to our own annihilation. We lose the power of language. We lose the power of communication. We lose the power of even bipedal movement through the AI smart home, smart device assistance. When we come back, I'm going to break it down in their own words where they admit it's the end of you and how wonderful it is straight ahead. They're now going from denying it to throwing it in your face to demoralize you.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, so if you just joined us, I was breaking into the huge area of AI and the fact that artificial intelligence is already here, and it's designed to be able to predict the future but also manipulate stimuli at the micro and the macro to control populations. Now, again, what I told you 20 years ago is now public and is ubiquitous. Folks might want to actually listen to me now about the next phase in their own words. Now, the good news is this is not going as planned for them. A lot of it's blown up in their face. A lot of it's actually augmented and helped us. For those of us that have adapted to make it stronger for ourselves, it's made it better. For those unconscious, it's lowered IQ, caused massive neurological disorders, physically, absolutely annihilating people. Culturally annihilating them. So if you're aware and resist it, but also use the weapons, you get some cultural and physical radiological effects, and it hurts you. But that which does not kill you only makes you stronger. If you're conscious of the attack, you get stronger overall. It will kill you, though, but not until you've already transmitted another generation forward that is activating the mitochondrial DNA to resist this. And again, this is the real test. What's being done to us is going to produce what we really are, not what the globalists think they're about to produce. And if they had any insight or any vision or any discernment, they'd know that. But doesn't matter. Now, let's continue. Excuse me. It's just hilarious. Goodbye, privacy. Hello, Alexa. Amazon Echo, the home robot who hears it all. This came out a few years ago in beta test. We said the feds and everybody's going to be listening. Your neighbors are going to be hacking. It's going to be a total disaster. And then, of course, you'll have to pay for upgrades to keep you safe. You don't think, oh, I don't want this thing here in my house tracking everything I do like Siri. So everyone's just competing with the phones in your house. The phone is already the little robot, the little imperial probe droid that follows you around. Yes, the robots will steal your jobs, and that's fine. The Washington Post. So it's this article of just accept it. It's all over. You're not needed. You're ugly. You're bad. This is part of the demoralization. We've got all these others. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life never been better. That's from the Davos Group, the post-human world. Apple leaps into AI research with improved, simulated, and unsupervised learning. And it goes on to say the robots will actually babysit your kids, and they'll drive the car for you, and you're not needed. See, a world's being built where you're not needed, and you just kind of spiritually and physically balloon up like you're on the Wally cruise ship and fade into oblivion because they dehumanize you and get you to lose your soul first before they physically kill the Earth suit. Zuckerberg builds artificial intelligence assistant to run house, entertain toddler. Oh, and it's all about he just built it like a tinker, and it's the cutest and the funnest, and it has a little story about how Zuckerberg, the genius, just came up with this on his own. There's not a plan behind it. It's the fun little friendly one. It's got a nice little name, non-threatening. You know, they sat around for years in think tanks going, what's the most non-threatening name for this? How do we get the scum to accept it, the dumb Fs? This is what he calls his users. What are the dumb Fs? How do we defeat a little predator? Can't even hide his vision. How do we defeat them? They're like, Sir Jarvis, we've done in focus groups is the most destructive. This will have them submitting to you. Good launch operations. Guaranteed, folks. You look at that guy as a ravenous demon. Fully engaged with pure Satanism. All right, continuing. I'm just going to tell you what I really think here. All right, you know what? We're going to come right back and get into more of this. I've only gotten about five of the articles. There's about 60 of them here. But then it's all just, you will submit. There's nothing you can do. We're coming for you. Yeah. I'm wearing a non-threatening trendy shirt. My name is Zuckerberg. Dumb effers. Prepare for me to take you. Look at the public. They're so weak. They're just ready to be dominated. Yeah.
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones.
Move, bitch! Get out the way!
We pledge allegiance. allegiance to one flag, and that flag is the American flag.
InfoWars helped fuel the rumor that President Obama is an ISIS supporter.
It's been a cozy relationship from the beginning.
I will not let you down. You'll be very, very impressed, I hope. And I think we'll be speaking a lot.
Donald Trump and Alex Jones.
This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
Waging war on corruption. It's
Alex Jones.
And it's not my point of view, baby. It's a fact.
This information. It's Alex Jones.
And it's not my point of view. It's a fact. And you know that it's true.
It's a fact that it's America and the people in England and the folks in Spain and the people in France and Italy and all over the world that want national sovereignty and to get the globalists off our backs. Globalists after World War II. When America had the world at its feet, took over this country, and have established a corporate world government, which right as it finally gets up on its hind legs, we're announcing it's dead on arrival and firing big old hot rounds of truth into its stinking heart. Oh, it's already been heart shot, and it's flailing, got blood spraying out its nose, out its mouth, out its lungs, and is about to roll over and hit the ground. Woo! Only one way to take down the globalist. And we're doing it right here. Let me tell you, I welcome having the State Department and the CIA openly come out and pass a law they say to shut me down. Yeah! Yeah! That is awesome! Toe to toe, let's do it! Ha 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 ha! Woo! You take me down, that makes our victory even faster. You don't? We get you. Don't you worry. We're going to win one way or another. Committed. Better than the scum. Heads above. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that said, we are in a pickle. So are the globalists. But they're the ones that are being exposed. Their program is now out in the open. They are activating their race-baiting communist professors who openly say they're communist to say kill white people, riot, murder, death. They have everything from Time Magazine to Newsweek to the New York Times saying kill President Trump. They are openly starting a war with Russia, clearly shot down that aircraft. There's been three of them the last year and a half, clearly killing the ambassador. Russia has still signed a deal with Turkey and with Syria today to end this war. They're now sending in the final special forces of the Russians, their veterans that cleaned out Chechnya and other areas of jihadist to go in and basically kill team all the rest of the jihadis. The jihadis have run out of their kids to send out as suicide bombers. They've cut off the supplies, and they are about to defeat them. The globalists and Soros are pissing mad. That's the only word I've got to describe it. And so they're trying to raise interest rates to hammer the economy. They're trying to start major wars. Obama is announcing major pushes, including military action, cyber attacks against Russia. That is set to be announced the next 48 hours, according to the Washington Post, which is the mouth of the enemy. So it's an amazing time. Last Friday, obviously, they signed the Senate name of the bill is the Countering Information Warfare Act. Countering Information Warfare Act. And they specifically in the hearings mentioned us. I mean, I love it. Oh, yes, we're influenced by the Russians. No, but I tell you who does influence the Russians, yours truly. And I also influence people in the UK. That's why. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I'm not bragging. People need to know the facts, the power you have as the American Liberty Movement. I'm just a prominent person in our movement. It's you that has the power because of taking action, speaking out with the enemy trying to demoralize you, saying you had no power. You were out there affecting the truth, affecting the info war. And your narrative of countering globalism got picked up worldwide. That's why he was on 15 years ago, but 12 years ago, and then last year and this year, Nigel Farage, the leader of UKIP, the leader of the anti-globalist movement, the guy behind Brexit, George Washington 2.0, they crashed his plane. They tried to kill him twice in his car. They promised they were going to back off. That's why he resigned. They've now double-crossed him. He's going back into politics, and they've told him, we're going to kill you. And by the way, he privately told me about that. Everybody knew what was happening. The police said they were trying to kill him in Europe, taking the bolts off his wheels over and over again and messing with his brakes and, I mean, you name it, the death threats, you name it. But now he's gone ahead and talked about the fact that he's under attack and they're trying to kill him. People say he wants somebody to take action. He is. They're trying to kill him right now. And let's just be honest, they don't like me either. Okay? But so what? We're in a war and we're winning. That feels good. I'm fulfilling my purpose. And Faraz said it was InfoWars. When there was no coverage of their movement in the UK, total state-run media, it was InfoWars and huge British listenership that gave him the listenership when he knocked on doors for his party to get into Parliament. It was InfoWars. You were more than half the support, just like you were for Ron Paul. Did we save the world with Ron Paul? Did we save the world with UKIP? No, but we were building steps towards that. And now Farage is back, and they'll probably kill him. The pilot is a vegetable. And they told him after the event, you get out of politics, or you're dead, buddy. You're lucky you lived. And he was in the hospital a few months, got out. I mean, he climbed out of that plane. Guys, search engine him climbing out of that crash plane with his face all torn up and blood all over him. That's what they do, ladies and gentlemen. So everybody that wants us to fight, believe me, we are fighting. But you need to understand, this audience, we don't tell you how powerful it is to brag. The enemy already knows. We tell you that so you know you're having a big historical effect. And if something happens to me, you already know the enemy plans. You've already got the blueprint. You already know what's going on. You already understand. They're not going to stop the transmission no matter what they do. And here's the thing they need to know. When they try to censor, when they try to shut down the free press, it's going to be people in the intelligence agencies that are going to leak the info on the foreign globalist power that's taken over. But I want to interview now and take calls in the second half of it. James Wesley Rawls, best-selling author, runs one of the top survival sites in the world, survivalblog.com, formerly with Army Intelligence, and a really smart guy, Army Intelligence Officer, to talk about where we are geopolitically with 22 days left, what they're doing with this announcement on Israel, which is an open call for a new intifada and a civil war, to hand that to Trump? Or are they planning to stay in power? We're seeing very ominous moves, very arrogant moves by Soros, doubling the amount of money in the days after the election he gave in the previous year for race war. Their communist professors activating nationwide, calling for the murder of whites and being allowed to do it. This is unbelievable. This is a historic moment. And believe me, they hate Trump more than ever because he's getting insiders that know how to turn the economy back on in, and already hundreds of billions. It was $60 billion a few weeks ago. Over $100 billion has already been announced next year in the country. $1 trillion if they cut the corporate income tax to the global average coming back in. I mean, they are scared. Their whole world government project is going up in flames in front of them, and we're seeing real desperation. Now, that's my prime analysis. Let's hear from James Wesley Rawls. What do you make of the times we're in? Am I being too extreme or not enough? Or, I mean, what's your expert take?
Well, Alex, I think you're right on target. We are living in very perilous times, but we are winning the information war. And you can thank your listeners for that. And the Brexit vote and the recent election of Donald Trump are both evidence that there is a huge populist groundswell that's worldwide. It's not just here in the United States. It's worldwide. I think we'll soon see a lot of political changes in continental Europe to follow the Brexit vote. We are winning the information war, but again, we're living in very perilous times. If you look at the legislative moves or executive order moves that Obama is making in the waning days of his presidency.
Is it not demoralization and sabotage?
Well, I think they're thrashing at this point. The New World Order clique is really seeing itself in its death throes, and they recognize that Trump's election is a huge threat to the status quo. They really want to consolidate power, but with Trump in office, I don't think they'll be able to accomplish that. Now, they'll probably do their very best to thwart Trump and all of the Trump administration's agenda. And as you mentioned before, they're willing to start World War III, or they're willing to collapse the U.S. economy and collapse the value of the dollar.
Which is an act of total war and sabotage. And so I'm very serious now when I say the better parts of the FBI, the intelligence agencies, who I know are the main reason we won this election, getting the intel out, not the Russians, they need to move. If they see treasonous activity violating the Bill of Rights Constitution, they need to move against these enemies, foreign and domestic. I've never called for a military coup, and this would not be a military coup. We have a president-elect. If this criminal group tries to scuttle the country or sabotage it, I think they have to be moved upon.
Well, I think there's definitely two different camps within all of the major intelligence organizations. There certainly is within the CIA and the NSA, and I suspect so also in the other agencies, you know, the DIA, the NRO, and so forth. There's definitely two camps out there.
Sure. What do you make of Clapper contradicting Obama over and over again with this made-up Russia stuff? I mean, that does show a big split.
Well, the whole disinformation campaign that's out there right now against Russia really is an attempt to muzzle the American free press and the alternative media. It's really a game of subterfuge that they're playing right now. They're trying to pin the blame on Russia, when in fact it's the powers that be that actually are totally co-opted by foreign powers. If you look at the influence of George Soros, for example, he is essentially calling the shots for the entire Clinton and Obama crowd. And ironically, they're claiming that it's foreign influence that's at fault and that tilted the last presidential election. That's absolutely laughable. Soros and the internationalists, the globalists, have been spending billions of dollars influencing American politics, and yet they are claiming that Russia was somehow involved in influencing the American election.
And so the good news is, I want to ask you this then. I want to go with this angle and then continue back. James Wesley Rawls joining us, survivalblog.com. Polls show, depending on the poll, between 9 and 23% buy the fact, some of the other cook polls, 33%. But however you slice it, let's just go with the highest numbers. 67% do not buy this, that the Russians are involved and think it's a joke. I don't know anyone that doesn't think it's a total joke. So it seems like they are flailing, they're miscalculating, but that's the type of thing historically that leads to gigantor wars, correct?
Right. When you see acts of desperation like this at the highest level, there's only a few more arrows left in their quiver. And one of those is promulgating a war. I think that's what they may resort to doing once Trump is in office. If they can't covertly co-opt the Trump administration, then they will resort to starting a war so that Trump will not be able to implement most of his planned policies. It's very difficult to scale back the size of government in the midst of a global war.
That's right. They want to do that so that the media can then gang up on Trump if it doesn't go along with the war, proxy war with the Russians. But there's no way a proxy war won't get out of control. This is insanity. This is total and complete insanity. And then you've got Obama running around race baiting and trying to create as much division there. How does that play in? The massive increasing of foundation and governmental and private funding for just absolute race division in America. It's so despicable. What does that signify? The fact that you'd think their race war stuff failed in the election, but instead, on every front, they're only doubling or tripling what they were doing.
Yeah, it really is strange to see that happening, because really the American people are essentially colorblind when it comes to the way they go about their day-to-day business. We are not a racist society, but to have the left, the statists, the globalists foment racial division in this country really is just sad to see. we have a country that does indeed have a few minor problems with the so-called race issue, but essentially we have a colorblind society, and we've given every group of immigrants a fair shake time and time again. I think that as time goes on, we'll see that the globalists will fail in their attempts to divide America along racial lines.
That's right. And let's not forget, we're the big experiment that tried all this. Obviously, we're not perfect. All these Muslim countries are totally intolerant of everybody. The Asian countries are totally intolerant of everybody. To look at us, because we have an ignorant population of good people, but ignorant on average, the lowest level of passports of any free country, people don't know how intolerant and how class-based other societies are. And then they run around, all these young people living off their parents' money, going to college, bitching about how horrible we are when they have no idea.
No, they're absolutely clueless. And the latest example, of course, is the Middle East with the abstention from the vote on Israel. Here we have the United Nations basically stabbing Israel in the back. And a lot of the countries that are doing this have a lower level of freedom than Israel itself. It's just absurd to
see. Hypocrisy is, I mean, almost all these countries fund and support suicide bombing your own little girls.
Yeah, that's what we're up against. And what encourages me is seeing that the truth is coming out with news outlets like yours.
Exactly. That's my next question. So let me steal it from you and have you just... So the immovable object is running into the unstoppable force, but they're not even a movable object now. They're this floundering, horrible leviathan of arrogance and hate. What happens now is no one buys anything they see. The veil's going up faster and faster. Poll numbers are going up for Trump. There's euphoria in global markets over it. All these foreign leaders want to work with Trump. Most of the world was bullied into globalism. They instinctively don't want it. What happens?
Well, I think their final desperation moves will probably be at least a regional war, if not a world war. And then there'll be calls to silence so-called propaganda. And guess who they're going to call the propagandists? They're going to call the alt-right the propagandists. And they will attempt, and I think they will fail, but they will attempt to muzzle people like you and me and basically shut us down, block us out of the internet, and silence us.
James,
I don't think they'll be successful. And I want to, that brings up one very important point, and that is for any of your listeners who have their own web pages or who are bloggers or who are video bloggers, I strongly recommend that in anticipation of the moves that will be made to voices on the internet, that those alternate websites for their
James, stop for a second. Your phone is breaking up really bad. I want to get a better connection or get you back closer to the base and then continue or try to go to a physical landline if you can. James Leslie Rawls is our guest, survivalblog.com. While his phone's clearing up, let me hit what he just said. And this hit me about a year ago. I said, all this propaganda that I'm a Russian agent, so stupid, they want to pass laws banning people that are carrying foreign propaganda. And then I went, oh, my God, they're going to start a physical war with Russia. Only then would this make sense during total hysteria, claiming their opposition are Ruskies and then arresting us. And now they're actually passed a law and are saying it. Everyone's laughing. But see, they're not going to be laughing once they start the war. But they're still going ahead with the old plan to start the war with Russia that Hillary was going to carry out, admittedly. But Trump's in. So they're still acting like they're going to do it, even though Trump's getting in. That means it may be in the next 22 days. And then you see all hell breaking loose with Russia and Obama announcing these attack plans, cyber attacks on Russia, planes getting shot down. I mean, this is so frightening, folks. I have trouble even believing this is happening. But unfortunately, my lying eyes aren't lying. James, your phone's back. You were getting into some points about how we need to create backup pages and things. Let's do that in the next segment. Finish up with clearly preparing for a large global war and calling all opposition enemy combatants.
Yes, I think that is their goal. I think that's their final desperation move, and we need to be ready for it. We need to be ready for it physically, and we need to be ready for it at organizationally at the cellular level, and we also need to be ready in terms of communications. And yes, we should get into that in the next segment to talk about alternative means of communications. And if it comes down to it, even distribution of video and audio on DVDs or memory sticks that's handed around from person to person, because it may come down to that.
And by the way, folks, we're not kidding here. This is not to shock you. Obama's trying to start a war with Russia. They're saying Trump's a Russian agent. That means they've got rogue groups in the government that believe they're following orders as a stay-behind network resistance, with Obama admitting they're putting a shadow government in. And I think that's probably really the plan. Not block Trump getting in, but have a shadow stay-behind network that sabotages Trump. And that's why it's so important that Howard Dean came out and admitted, oh, we're going to sabotage him and make him look stupid. Our plan's chaos. Well, I'm sorry. You're operating as a foreign power. I want to say it. Before they start World War III, it's not fascist to say, it's time that we arrest these people, because they're calling for sedition, and Howard Dean, Obama, all of them need to get their asses locked up when Trump gets into office if they try this, along with Soros.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Is this some conspiracy? James Leslie Rawls is our guest, and you notice I'm getting a little bit, not hysterical, but a little bit agitated here. And that's because my name's being listed right there at the top. I mean, John Hancock, they were almost done signing the Declaration of Independence. He walked over to be one of the last to sign it, and he signed it giant down at the bottom, because if you're going to go up against this tyranny, it's actually smart to be, you know, one of the big leading lights of it, because if you get taken down, you're a martyr. You're not just somebody that gets killed quietly in the corner and nobody knows about your sacrifices. You want to be an example to others. Tyrants are mentally ill. They always think terrorizing people is what gets them power. Yeah, terrorizing general public, who might be cowardly, does that. But when you actually start killing innocent people and killing champions of freedom, it activates other people who are meek, who are very humble, but who are 10 times the man or woman these globalists are. And so we're living in an epic moment. I mean, you can see it. They're really selling the idea that we're not racist now. They tell the minorities that, so we're just going to round up the racists now. And we don't give service to them, and we're going to arrest them. But also, we're foreign agents. But no one's buying it, so you've got to ask the big question. Well, what's next? Well, we keep saying for months it's to start a war with Russia. And now you see them saying, we reserve the right to militarily hit Russia whenever we want if we think there was a cyber attack from their country. What a perfect false flag. I want to take your call specifically on this Russia situation. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? What angles do you have? What questions for James Wesley Rawls on this topic and only this topic? 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. I want to get to a lot of folks when we go to you. It's a quick comment or question. Briefly, we've got free shipping store-wide until New Year's, and we're keeping 50 to 25% off, the lowest discount, store-wide on all the nutraceuticals and many other items while supplies last. A lot of things are selling out. We have a liver cleanse, liver shield that goes with the Oxy powder. That's 30% off. Great way to flush out that situation. We have informational videos on the site. Super Male Vitality is amazing, just natural concentrated herbs that are just incredible. Just try it. You're supporting the broadcast, so you can't lose. Or call toll-free. We can answer all your questions, tell you about other specials. There's a lot of them. 888-253-3139. Now, going back to James Wesley Rawls. James, I'm kind of hyperventilating here, because clearly you've got all these provocations. You've got this escalation. You've got Obama running around as fast as he can. Totally opening the borders now, bringing in eightfold the refugees he was. There's just a desperation here. We just lost James. His phone was cutting in and out. We'll try to get him back on. And then we'll also take your phone calls. But while we're getting him on, I meant to play this clip. Here is Putin on Friday responding to our media at a press conference, over 400 journalists, claiming that he made Americans vote for Trump. Here it is.
We know that the Democratic Party lost not just the presidential election. They lost the Senate elections. They lost the Congress elections. Well, is this... I'm to blame? Well, are we responsible for everything? Are we the scapegoats? It just signals that the current administration has systemic problems. I spoke about that at the Valdai Discussion Club. There's a gap between the perceptions of what is good and bad with the elites and the perception with the grassroots. The fact that 30% of Republican voters support a Russian president, well, I'm not to be thanked for that. It means that the vast majority of the U.S. population, you know, have the same ideas of the world order, of the threats and challenges, common threats and challenges. And this is good that there are people who share our traditional values. This could help us to build a better relations between such powerful countries as Russia and the U.S. This is a good foundation. People have a liking towards each other. They share the values. Well, you know, it's not good to recall former presidents. I think Mr. Reagan would not roll in his grave, but he would rather rejoice at the fact that his party is winning across the board, and certainly he would be happy that the new president has been elected. You know, certainly only we knew that he's going to win. None except us believed he's going to win. Now, if you look at the legendary Democratic leaders, they would roll into their graves like Mr. Roosevelt. Even in the most difficult times of the Great Depression, at the end of the 90s and during World War II, he united the nation. The current administration has split the nation. And the call on the electors not to vote for Trump is a step towards dividing the nation. And two electors didn't vote for Trump, and for Hillary, there were four electors that didn't vote for Hillary. So even on this, the Democratic Party lost, and I think that's a blow to them. It's a humiliation for them. If you lose, you need to lose with dignity. So I would like to have both with the newly elected president and with the leader of the Democratic Party to have business-like constructive relationship that would serve the best interests of the U.S. and Russia.
All right.
Certainly the interests of our nations.
I'll post this up on Infowars.com. Now, that sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? And, of course, he's just talking about electors they let get through. All over the country, people went against Hillary because they know she stole it from Sanders. It would have been 50, 60, 100. I don't know. I counted up over 50 electors in different states that tried to go against her. They'd have police arrest them, even in states where it was legal. So it completely blew up in their face. Completely. Now, Rawls is out in the middle of a rural area. His internet's out. You heard it start cutting out. His Skype's out, and his internet-based phone is out. We'll have to get him back probably on another day or maybe later in the next hour. I know we have phones loaded. I can obviously speak to the same issues Rawls can. We're pretty much on the same page. Not because we sit there and even probably listen to each other. It's because this is what's happening. We have crazy people.
running this country. And he is back. His internet is back. So that's great. We have loaded phones for him as well. Again, ladies and gentlemen, James Wesley Rawls is our guest, survivalblog.com. You got cut off at the break. Finish up with your point about them wanting to start a war, the floundering, where you see this going. I was bringing up Obama admitting they're putting in basically a shadow government. Trump's trying to find out names of who they're putting in right now. Now, you notice he's putting in a bunch of generals. They're calling that fascist. Look, I love our republic. But when you have globalists run by a foreign nationalist like Soros, who admittedly overthrows countries, and who's the model for James Bond villains, admittedly, who are trying to activate race riots and trying to ban the free press and trying to, say, arrest us, that's fundamental acting for the multinationals as a foreign conglomerate and is the definition of espionage and an attempt at political overthrow. So I'm going to let people know that obviously they hate Trump because they know that if they try to move against him even before or after, they're going to be met with major resistance. And I think these scumbags know that. It's why they're trying to use things they can do internationally to sabotage the country. But I'm just saying, in the next 22 days, James Wesley Rawls, there's got to be some red line that if Obama or Hillary or Soros cross it, it's time to arrest them. I mean, I'm serious. Go ahead.
Well, I think that we are living in very perilous times. I don't think that Obama has run out of cards up his sleeve. I think he's going to try additional executive orders before he leaves office. I would not be surprised to see some sort of false flag event, some kind of Reichstag fire type event, where they could use that as the excuse for instituting martial law. And presumably, it's not totally out of the realm of imagination to think that they might even try to block Trump from taking office. They might even do that. But certainly, they're going to try to put structures in place to silence any voices of dissent in the country before Trump comes into office. And hopefully, the Trump administration will very quickly reverse any of those moves. But in the short term, things could get just plain crazy in the next few weeks if they start beating the drums of propaganda or counter-propaganda. We could see some pretty radical moves taken against the alternative media in this country.
I agree. And, you know, I'm a defensive person. We're under attack. The foundations of the country are under attack. The enemy's panicked. I don't see them relinquishing power in 22 days. And I really don't. Now, the good news is, as you know, James, they operate as a combine, kind of groups of oligarchs who no one ever really sticks their neck out. They try to just mislabel things and, you know, pass them and put them in place. So I think that, you know, that's something that does weaken them. It's one of their strengths at the same time, because it's hard to cut the head off politically. But maybe that's our hope, is that none of them want to stick their necks out too far.
Well, yeah, certainly seeing the results of the election and seeing Clinton get absolutely trounced in the election, obviously that's going to put a bit of fear into their hearts. But there are some individuals who will attempt to subvert the system. And whether it's a shadow government, like you mentioned, or whether it's legislative maneuvering behind the scenes between maybe some collusion between the Democrat and Republican parties to try to silence
that. That's the real threat. As you notice, this anti-free speech Ministry of Truth directly out of 1984 passed in the NDAA, saying they're going to federalize all media. It's just unprecedented. And even the free speech groups don't even get what's in the bill. It's so draconian. Is that it was the Republican establishment colluded to ram that through by a huge majority.
Yes. And we have to realize who our friends are. And inside the Beltway, we have precious few friends. We can only count on further collusion, further backroom deals, and just general disregard for the Constitution and everything that it stands for.
If we can hold fast, though, historically, I know you're a historian as well, and I really respect your opinion. If we can hold fast, though, I believe the enemy is, as you said, floundering, thrashing, burning down in front of us. If we can hold fast another year or so and just get prosperity reactivated, stop a global collapse that they admit they're trying to implement now, I believe that you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, we could see this whole world government project completely disintegrate.
It could very well fall apart right in front of our eyes. You know, everyone thought that the Soviet Union was going to last forever, but yet it just dissolved over the course of about 18 months. And to go back to the Reagan era, the Reagan prosperity did more to inspire the spirit of liberty in this country than anything else. And we may end up with Trump, if we're lucky, turning out to be another Ronald Reagan.
Sure. And let me ask you this, and then I want to go to some phone calls. I mean, better than Reagan if he delivers in this dark hour, because you know, they say it's the times that make great men. And certainly if Trump and all of us can rise to this occasion, we are looking at the most critical time in world history, not just American history. Do you agree with that?
Yes. It's an exciting time to live, but it's also kind of a frightening time to live. So
I agree. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to go to the calls.
All right.
There is now a venom, a wild-eyed, anti-white, anti-Christian, communist coming out by mainly white weirdo professors. But in every town, in every city, they're activating right now, I guess, out of panic and just frothing and calling for death and the usual red terror. How did they brainwash people to hate prosperity and Christians so much when we're not doing anything to anybody? I mean, to me, this really gets down to, really, it is spiritual. These people are driven by something that doesn't make sense.
I agree. It is a spiritual battle. And what they're doing through academia and through the mass media is creating a sense of self-loathing. But deep in people's hearts, they recognize they don't really deserve that and that they really aren't racist. And all it will take is a good chunk of the population standing up and saying, well, wait a minute, I'm not a racist. Why are you putting this label on me? In fact, I even object to even the racial terms that are used. I think there's only one race. It's the human race. And to try to divide people along racial lines is classic statism. It's one of the old weapons that they've used time and time again. They've used racism. They've used anti-Semitism.
But it's so naked, James. I mean, it's like cartoon level to like see cops get killed and CNN hosts go, well, it's the cops' fault. They better reform themselves. I mean, that's like saying randomly kill a black person because some other black person did something wrong or vice versa. It is the most totalitarian, flaming evil, just frothing. And the weird thing is they're losing, but they're so delusional. And I guess we're brought up, whether they be white or black or whatever, in these big mega cities. They're not connected to the earth. They have no understanding that their intimidation and arrogance isn't working on us and that all we're doing is moving into destroying them.
Right. I think that the truth will win in the long run. That's what we have to count on. That's what we need to pray for. And in the meantime, though, we need to be well prepared as individuals and as families. We need to have communication networks in place. And in case they do try to shut down the internet, we need to have small cellular groups that are impenetrable, basically like leaderless resistance, but they'd be, instead of physical combat, their information combat cells need to be out there to pass information around amongst patriots.
That's right. I mean, we built this system to resist a globalist takeover. Can our system defeat it before they even launch it? Can we blow up their rocket before it gets off the ground? We're about to find out. Everybody knows in their gut. You can also see it in a cold-blooded geopolitical analysis. The world is at the ultimate crossroads. Organized globalist evil behind the most radical forms of Islam is spilling across the globe. Western nations are being brought to their knees. Cold-blooded multinationals are putting AI technology in every home they can trick to take it. to track our every movements. True evil is being set loose on the planet. I want to go to your phone calls in this segment, the next. We have so much more. Leanne McAdoo popping in, a bunch of key reports I'm going to be playing in the third hour. Then Paul Watson joins us from London. James Wesley Rawls, excellent site, is survivalblog.com. I keep saying this, but I want to get him up about his latest novels about Christians forming their own communities and breaking away. Every instinct I have in my gut is get out of the cities now. Even though we may make it out of this, and it's still, the globalists aren't going to give up for a long time. I mean, the good news is we were there, you were there, Rawls was there 25 years ago, warning people. So now that it's all coming true, our credibility's so high, the fact that they're desperately trying to shut us down only takes us to the next level. This is a very exciting time to be alive, folks. And this is not historically, you know, my opinion. This is historic information. This is not just something I'm saying here. That's why it all keeps coming true. We know history. Humans act the same. James in Texas, you're on the air with James Wesley Rawls. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Alex. Thanks for having me on the air. I got two questions for you and James. First one would be in regards to how the globalists are trying to start a war before he takes office. Is there any way Trump could reach out to Putin to, you know, Putin has to understand that this is all ahead of time.
They've been exchanging nice letters. They all know the score. What's the other question?
Okay. The other question is, if it gets to the point where something happens between now and then, is it a possibility that the people could just stand up, not go to work, and go to the streets in a nonviolent protest?
I think Trump should be telling Obama, you're going to get your ass arrested. You start a war. I mean, at a certain point, you got to get aggressive with these people. James?
Yes, I think that people need to speak up. And if it takes acts of civil disobedience, or if it takes individual law enforcement officers stepping up and doing the right thing, by all means, if it has to happen, it has to happen. We are living in very perilous times. I refer to this as living in the age of deception and betrayal. And before Obama leaves office, he may try extreme measures. And if any of those measures are unconstitutional, then people need to stand up for the Constitution and do the right thing.
That's right. They want a provocation, folks. Don't think they might not just start killing patriot leaders and then false flag and claim our folks did it. It's key to be defensive, wake people up, and get folks involved. But I'm quite frankly, to judge each circumstance, like, I mean, I'm not going to try to promote this, but if they came up to me with guns and tried to kill me, I'd just put my hands up and let them kill me at this point, because that would defeat them. Fighting them would actually give them power and make them the victims. And I'm using that more as a metaphor. Now I'm talking about myself personally. You have to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run, to quote Kenny Rogers. Any other comments on that, James?
Well, yes. I think that you're right there. You need to learn to pick your fights. And we certainly don't want to be in a position where we get suckered in to a false flag event for some sort of uprising when it's not really truly justified, because that could be used as the excuse for instituting some fraction of martial law and a massive roundup.
And once a real resistance starts, if they put out a fake one with some leader you never heard of, you know it's fake, that's got to be resisted. But once they start stuff and a resistance starts, they're going to be telling you you're losing until the day they fall like Baghdad Bob or Tokyo Rose. So if a real civil war kicks off, you can never stop, folks. Okay, just remember that. The enemy will be telling you that you're losing even when you're five feet from the final bunker door with Henry Kissinger inside of it. We'll be back with 70 seconds with more of James Wesley Rawls. Stay with us. Something just hit me. They're trying to affect the future battle space with a war with Russia to shut down the press here. They're also gearing up for a physical civil war and activating their minions towards violence. They may be planning a hot war with us. Oh, man.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
James Wesley Rawls, one of the top survivalist experts, formerly with Army Intelligence, is our guest. Great guy. Great breakdown. Amy in Texas, you're on the air with your question or comment. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. Thank you so much for taking my call. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you for calling. You're awesome. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask if they believe that, if James believes that this whole thing with Russia is really honestly just a false flag, no different than the whole Pizzagate earlier. And of course, what they're doing right now in the Middle East with Israel, if they're trying to do all of this to just disguise what they're honestly doing in the background.
That's a great question. I mean, James, is there any other big event that they're diverting us from right now?
There's a few. The plebiscite in Italy, for example, has not been very well covered in the United States at all. I think that vote is just as important as Brexit, and yet it's hardly been covered in the American press. And the events in Syria are really being spun by the mass media and making it look as if it's just two parties involved when there's actually three or four. The situation in Syria is actually quite complex, and there's any number of different sequences of events that could play out into turning it into a full-blown regional war or even blowing it up into a world war.
I mean, this is just how World War I began.
Yes. Yeah. There's so many forces in play in Syria. So many vested interests and so many proxies. It's almost impossible to count the number.
That's right. It gets so Machiavelli, no one's in control.
Well, I really don't think that Assad is in control of the situation at all. He's basically trying to play the Russians off to his own advantage. But when you come right down to it, there's too many moving pieces there.
That's right. And the Russians have now allied with Turkey, that's enemies with Syria.
Well, yeah, people are not recognizing the fact that Russia is just as committed to stopping Islamic terrorism as the Trump administration.
Probably more so because they're totally encircled by it.
Well, yes. If you look at what's gone on in all of the Stan countries surrounding Russia on its southern tier. And what happened in Chechnya, they have really borne the brunt of it. It's countries like Israel and countries like Russia that are paying the price in blood in much more copious quantities than the United States.
Absolutely. And notice now suddenly Russia and Israel have been kind of at loggerheads. Now they're friendlier. This is just a crazy time to be alive because so many battle lines are being redrawn, again, just like you had before a major world war. Amy in Texas, great question. Any other points?
No, I just want to thank you for everything you're doing. And I guess just stay vigilant, really. I'll continue to try to stay on top of everything.
You too. Listen, you're the power of this broadcast. You're amazing. And thanks for putting up with me. James Wesley Rawls, I'm going to take more calls after you're gone. I appreciate you joining us. In the 50 seconds we have left, other points.
Well, I'd just like to encourage listeners to be ready for a clampdown on the internet, as I mentioned before. Be proactive, folks. Go to your favorite news and alternative news websites. There's a tool that you can use on the internet called IP lookup. You need to look up the dotted quad addresses for all your favorite websites and write them down.
That's right, because they can only really block the getting via the URL, but if you have the code number saved, you have their address.
Right. If you have that dotted quad address, even if their website is taken down by the powers that be, you can still get to their server. So write down those dotted quad addresses, folks.
That's right. In fact, I want to get our quad address posted on InfoWars at the bottom. That's a great point. Mr. Rawls, thank you so much. I want to get you back in the near future. Thanks for the time.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, I got a bunch of callers I'm going to get to. I have several excerpts when I was on National Russian Television and their view towards America and wanting us to be great and wanting us to be nationalistic and kick Soros out. They understand we're infested by the very same multinationals they are. So that's coming up. I want to play some excerpts of Obama and his Pearl Harbor speech that was very powerful. The problem is his policies are all the opposite of it. So that's coming up. That's some of the best speech writers in the world. But I've told the reporters, whenever you've got something big, something you want to focus on, something you're passionate on, I'd love for you to come tell me and you know, pop in for 10, 15 minutes. Rob Dew's coming in about mumps spread on college campuses. It's happening in public schools and campuses to vaccinated people and in areas where they have over 90% vaccinated. I'll say that again. Who gets the flu in the studies? People that get the flu shot. Who gets Alzheimer's? People that get the flu shot. Who has lower IQs? People that get the flu shot. Who gets the measles, mumps, rubella? Who gets the hepatitis? Flu shot, hepatitis shot, MMR shot. That's giving it to you. My dad is a recently retired medical individual, oral surgeon, regular dentist, managed over 200 medical clinics before he retired because of Obamacare. And guess what? He said with his patients and his doctors, he would have so many old people that they'd had for decades who would die or disappear, and you'd see them 6 months later, they'd have legs sawed off and stuff from shingles. And he'd say, did you take the vaccine? Yeah, I took it a week before and got it. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, and people say, you don't believe in the science of immunization? No, I know you can get acquired immunity from, you know, the smallpox or whatever. The point is there's always been a risk. They're not telling you. And now this stuff is cooked up scientifically in these secret labs by globalists who have diplomatic and criminal immunity, and taxpayers secretly have to pay in the vaccine damage fund. It's social engineering. The same government that did secret radiological and syphilis tests on the American people. You know, as it's come out, it wasn't just the black folks, we now learn. It was people in Appalachia. It was poor people in Peru getting injected with syphilis. Folks, this is the eugenicists, the psychopaths, the child molesters, the people that want to feed on humanity. They want to get into power positions in medical tyranny. The Nazis pioneered it. Learn about it. But Leanne, we've told everybody for years, they're putting AI in your phone. Siri tracks you, records intel, games you on products, rips you off, scams you. Mm-hmm. Now, hello privacy, or goodbye privacy, hello Alexa, Amazon Echo, the home robot that hears it all.
It's so great. It's wonderful.
And it admits the feds are dialed into it. They're tracking everything we do. It's total control. It's going to make humans obsolete. You've got a bunch of articles on this. So they've gone from denying, hey, don't cover up your webcam, Alex is crazy, to the FBI director saying, cover your webcam, but it doesn't matter. You're still going to have to accept it. Leanne.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, you were talking a little earlier in the show about the singularity and how they're not even trying to hide it anymore. They're trying to make it cool. And if it's this new, great, wonderful thing, man's going to merge with machines. Well, I'm sure a lot of people, especially with the Christmas holiday, were buying VR headsets and things like that for, this is kind of the new computing platform. It's going to be the next major thing, virtual reality. Well, this is going to give them unprecedented surveillance, very intimate. So it's not just they're tracking your eye motion and they're putting heat sensors in things to
figure out. Heart rate.
Yes. I mean, they're mining all of this data from our bodies, your head movements, your facial expressions. They're going to give it to corporations, governments, law enforcement as well. And what their end game is, they're really, you know, right now what they're really trying to work on is getting power over our emotions. And they even admit that these things are going to, well, here's the creepy thing is that they're really excited about the fact that—
By the way, that's called mind control.
Oh, yeah. And they openly admit it, that they are going to nudge you via these avatars. They're very excited that you're going to be
that's
living
the
in these avatars.
That's the Cass term. He said, we're going to nudge you, bully mm-hmm. you.
Yep.
And he's the guy that originally wanted the ban on fake news, whatever he says it is.
Right. I mean, it's totally incredible. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. Their endgame here, they say avatars are going to form the foundation of your identity in VR. So not even taking into, you know, account the psychological aspects of being digitally embodied online. So they're also talking about how they're going to use these avatars to nudge you. So, for instance, if you are looking online in virtual reality and you're learning about a certain religion or a certain politician who is running for office.
They already track you. Now they're going to not just predict the future, they're going to control the future.
They're going to control your thoughts. They're going to make your avatar smile or frown. For instance, if it's you're talking about Trump, it'll frown like it. So then psychologically you start to identify with your avatar, and that is their
And it
game.
Says the avatar will raise your baby. Your kid won't just watch TV and be programmed now. It'll be there with all these little AI systems controlling you and reporting back what you do to your kids.
This is one chief data scientist at an unnamed Silicon Valley company telling a Harvard business professor. He says, the goal of everything we do is to change people's actual behavior at scale. We can capture their behaviors, identify good and bad behaviors, and develop ways to reward the good and punish the bad.
So they admit, we're not just selling you Amazon stuff or Google stuff. We're tracking you. We're going to control your life, like China announced with Zuckerberg last year, and have a internet database avatar, your social score with the government and corporations, where if you don't play ball, they start delisting you until you're completely delisted, and then you can't have jobs in the physical world. The literal mark of the beast, and schools and major churches bring in the Connect systems from Microsoft and the other systems from Amazon because they get discounts. Oh, we're going to give you cheaper stuff if you put this in your house, because it's a literal government spy robot.
Right.
Which they admit is meant to mind control you.
Right. It's physical surveillance.
Do we get awards for warning people 10 years before, Leanne?
No.
Oh, no. We're the kooks. I forgot. Right. We're the fake news.
Fake news. Right. And so they also talk about how these virtual reality environments, they already know that they have an effect on people psychologically. They're using this research to help people with post-traumatic stress disorder, for instance. That's a great use of these virtual reality.
What it does is it really flashes and put you into a hypno state.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too. A lot of people don't understand this virtual reality. When you saw the picture with Mark Zuckerberg and he was walking, all the people were in their VR headsets, but he was the only one.
He's still human. They're now in a pod. They're now proto matrix.
Imagine what's going to happen in 5-10 years when everything gets automated. We have hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people out of a job. They don't know what to do with us. So they're just going to hook us up to these VR machines and let us live our life with these avatars.
Until it programs you with your free will to decide your family and others are going to get more credits or the charity of your wish if you go ahead and opt for the euthanasia. And
right.
Then you'll be sent to the euthanasia center. And be turned into Soylent Green. And by the way, you go, wait a minute, that's a movie. No, they've announced your body will be liquefied and turned into plant food to, quote, feed the ecosystem. They've all got it gamed out where you're going to be basically put in a mind control pod until you agree to commit suicide. And again, I put in my book, Descent into Tyranny, in 2002, the Army plan declassified by the Federation of American Scientists in the 70s, to actually have us go into VR pods, then accept wires, then accept to be in tanks from birth that heat our own system and supply power to the computers.
Right.
You go, wait, I heard about that in a movie. No, that's a movie based on the real plan.
The real thing. Why do you think they're making clothing that can charge your phone via the movement of our bodies?
And
because
again,
our bodies are batteries.
And I'm going to ask you, Leanne, we're electrochemical.
Right.
Do you really think humans cooked this up?
Ooh, I don't.
I mean, this looks like some kind of interstellar, interdimensional colonization.
Beyond,
to me.
I think, human conception, especially.
This doesn't look too friendly. I think this has been used before.
Right.
Oh, the Bible says there's a guy fell to the planet. He's running the show. Not very nice. Oh, yeah, there we go. The Bible warns you so we'd have a leg up about the mark of the beast and the false reality. And the whole world sees the beast at once and worships him. That's broadcast. That's TV. Even the elect would give over their will to it and have a grand illusion.
Right.
The churches are worshiping this. The major Christian churches in Austin already have the VR sets during the Sunday school for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say a word, they throw you out of the church because they are active participants in the Great Deception.
Well, that's why you look around and you think this is absolute madness. It's insanity. Why are the bees being put on the endangered species list? Why are we destroying our environment and our food? Why do we even need robot bees to help pollinate our plants and things?
It's an override.
It's madness. And then that kind of takes me to this other story that I thought was interesting. It also sort of ties into the mumps story that Rob Dew will be talking about, because nature has a way of filling in the blanks. If you take out the mumps with the vaccine, it's going to reproduce a more virulent strain. Well, here we have U.S. and China. They're preparing to stage mass trials to edit the genes of cancer patients, or they're trying to take out all of these inheritable diseases.
Yeah, they're making it where all these inheritable diseases that weren't manifesting are now manifesting because of chemicals in the environment. Then they say, oh, we've got to change your genes. Now they patent you. Now they have patentable babies. They admit they're going to social engineer before you even go into embryonic form.
Exactly. Well, this is one professor. He's the author of Modern Prometheus, Editing the Human Genome. He talks about the fact that if they mess with genes and wipe out things like depression, autism, schizophrenia, or Asperger's, this might mean that we will not see geniuses anymore. People like
By the way,
Thomas
all
Edison.
Of that is associated with genius, schizophrenia,
exactly.
Asperger's. They know that.
They're
killing
musicians.
The more advanced of us who are malfunctioning because of chemicals in utero they know are associated. So they don't say get rid of the glyphosate, messing up babies in utero that would have been super smart. Now they can't handle this incredible brain they've got. No, let's just get rid of all the intelligence.
Right. Let's make everyone just dumbed down and basic. We don't need any geniuses. We don't need anyone coming along and inventing the next light
bulb. Zuckerberg will control us. We're just dumb effers.
Right. We don't need any musical geniuses or, you know, they've got like Tennessee Williams.
Remember, Zuckerberg calls us dumb effers.
Right.
He goes, I can't believe the dumb effers trust me.
Right.
And then laughed like a witch, they said.
And laughed because people will just willingly give up all of their information, all their data. Oh, I'm eating this for lunch. I'm going here.
You into it.
Now you're actively putting on your VR headset that Facebook, don't forget.
And next is the wirehead. Next is the chip. And your 10-year-old will be like, all my friends have the new chip. You know, and the government's like, we now have rules that by age 10, the child's allowed to have it. It's your right. We're going to let you socialize your child. They're already talking about we're going to make sure children as young as 3 will be able to get the chip if they want.
Right.
That's what California passed a law. 11 and up can get vaccines without parental consent.
Even though they know this is causing brain damage in young children, they're still heavily advertising to kids via these video games.
Leanne, I'm going to shoot a special report for the Nightly News or whatever. If you want to join me this afternoon, are you doing the news tonight?
David Knight is.
So join me. We'll shoot a special report on all this and more. Thanks. We'll be back with the vaccines. New article just went up on Infowars.com. Thanks for joining us. I'm Alex Jones. Please spread the word about all the great stations you're listening to us on and be sure and support them as well. It's so key. New Kit Daniels article at Infowars.com. Obama launches scorched earth policy in final days before Trump. I'm going to cover this when we start the next segment and go right to your calls, at least for John and Chris and Mark and Uncle Sam and Timothy. I'm going to go to you bam, 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 and then hit some other important news. And Paul Watson's coming in fresh with all the latest developments. Always just an absolute rampaging titan of liberty in the fourth hour from London. But Rob Duguid's really mad. He's got 4 great kids. He's a good personal friend with my kids. His kids are. We go on vacation together and stuff. And, you know, I love his kids. He loves mine. We do the research. We have the nurses on and doctors on where they come in and say, all right, the bioethics board is ordering us to inject with 3 shots all the preemies. And they go, but we don't have enough resuscitation and enough breathing machines. They'll start dying. And they go, doesn't matter. It's orders of the company. They inject. The convulsions begin, then they start losing them. Some they can keep alive, but they won't have enough breathing machines, so some die. And if the nurse even leaves to go on break, you know, they have to stay by and they die. We've had the whistleblowers on. The general media doesn't care. They love it. This is a giant social engineering program. It's not that we don't believe in the science of inoculation. We know there's a social engineering program admitted in the vaccines worldwide, sterilization, paralyzing people with the polio shots. So dues here. You did a great job in a 1-minute report for the news. You got 4 minutes. Yeah. We got to break it down.
All right. So yeah, this was out on Drudge Report today. And basically what we have are mumps. There's mumps outbreaks going everywhere. The worst is there's about 4,000 and they say it's a triple of what was 2015. So this is huge.
But notice in the article, the headline should be vaccinated getting mumps,
exactly.
Most vaccinated getting it. No, it's more vaccines are needed.
Right.
So you have to understand, folks, it's vaccinated people that are getting it. It gives it to you.
And this in Arkansas, they've had 2,000 cases this year from school-aged children all the way to adults.
This is the most vaccinated areas.
Exactly. 90% of these children have been vaccinated.
That's in the article.
Got it. And up to 30 to 40% of the adults were vaccinated. So what is the health director there? And he says, well, maybe we need a third vaccination. We just need a third one. And MMR is one of the most toxic vaccines you can give.
It's 3 different ones.
Kids. Yeah.
It's the triple jab, number one connected to the early onset of neurological disorders. In fact, you have down in San Antonio.
Earlier this year, the DA at San Antonio, Bexar County DA, Nico LaHood, we have a Nico here, he spoke out. Him and his wife, basically, they give their kid the MMR shot.
Both their kids.
Yeah, both their kids. And they both have problems now. And he's speaking out against it. He's sick and tired of it. And he's been called a crackpot, a kook. He's been called everything under the sun speaking out and doing his
just like stuff. Barron reportedly got hurt by a vaccine. And then Trump's bad because he says, you know, they're giving them too many.
Exactly. And they are. We have the most, our vaccine schedule for our kids is the largest in the free world. And we're ranked like 20th or 30th in infant mortality. It's pathetic.
The only country with higher is South Korea. South Korea gives more and they have a higher.
Exactly.
It's like 1 in 30 now have it. It's 1 in 58 here. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it's causing autoimmune disorder where the brain swells up.
Exactly.
They won't even tell you, your kid's convulsing at age 8, you know, at 18 months after the shots today. Oh, give them Benadryl because the hospital doesn't want to admit they did it.
No.
But all the nurses and all the doctors know.
They do know. And you find that the nurses and the doctors are the ones that don't vaccinate their kids. That's what you find, that they don't vaccinate their kids. And that's what really pisses me off. And then this article, you know, they go to these health officials that are like, well, we need more vaccines. We don't know why this is happening. Maybe it's just the wrong strain. They always have.
They also call for arresting those of us that don't vaccinate because we're the reason they're getting sick. Unvaccinated statistically get sick less.
Well, the measles outbreak that happened, which is measles, mumps, and rubella, is this shot. We were finding that it was people who were vaccinated that were spreading the disease.
And they admitted in the article. And look, there's hundreds they want to make mandatory.
Yeah.
Already 40-something they're saying are mandatory. There's no law, but they're trying to pass laws.
Well, California, it's getting bad. That's the worst place right now. People are speaking out. People are fighting back. You'd think, you know, maybe that's why a lot of people are moving to Texas now, because they don't like these vaccine laws. But not enough people are speaking out.
And again, this is not our opinion. If you're a new viewer, we know learned immunity is real. And if something's dangerous enough, you can take the risk of a vaccine. There's liability protection, secret courts for vaccine makers under national security since the 80s, since 82. It's a secret program. They are adding stuff. They've been caught all over the world, sterilizing, reducing fertility, causing women to have miscarriages, sterilants, you name it.
And, you know, I'll say this, Alex. All my kids got the chicken pox. They're fine. They have lifelong immunity now.
Makes them stronger.
It does. We have an employee here whose daughter, he got his daughter vaccinated, and she was crying and all throughout the night, kept calling the doctor. Is she okay? She goes, oh, that's normal. It's normal that they cry all night now after they get a shot. That's normal.
They say it's even normal not to talk a few days.
Exactly. That's all normal. Oh, he starts stumbling after they start walking.
He can't walk. Now they're saying in the news, it's normal you can't walk. And sometimes they quit breathing. Well, it's for the greater good.
I got one more little antidote. Back in 1990, I got the mumps, and I had the damn MMR vaccine. It doesn't work.
My uncle took a tetanus shot, almost killed him. My mother took a flu shot, almost died. She was a triathlete then, winning state championships, and on the UT Masters team, beating former Olympic athletes.
Read the damn
bye bye swimming career when she took that shot at 40 something. We'll be back. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
Read the
We're on the march.
Safe and effective, right?
The Empire.
That's a 44 mag in the head.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Kind of sounds like Christmas music, doesn't it? But it's not. Here come the killers. Obama gave his speech in Hawaii yesterday. It was pretty powerful. I agree with all of it. The speechwriter wrote it. And he talked about peace on earth and coming together and global harmony. When Obama is turning loose jihadis all over the world, financing wars, selling us out to the communist Chinese, lying about our election, saying a foreign power was involved, when he said it was insane that no one would be involved in our election, and we pointed out they were the ones trying to steal it. New story up on Infowars.com. Obama launches scorched earth policy in final days. And it just goes through the starting the wars, throwing Israel under the bus. Regardless of what you think about Israel, there's a no-brainer. Israel has 400 to 600 nuclear weapons and delivery systems that are high tech. Some of the best out there. They're not going anywhere. This will only have the Arabs uprise more than ever. He's doing this with 22 days left to give Trump a global crisis. And then Howard Dean's bragging. Trump's going to cause such a big crisis, he's going to cause World War III. Ha, ha, ha. You're the ones trying to cause that. So you see the scripting. They talk to us like we're idiots. But if we don't just take what they say on face value, but look at it in context, these are a pack of scum. We need your support now more than ever. I'm going to expand in the face of this tyranny and their attempt to censor us and all the rest of it. InfoWars is not just going to sit idly by and watch these criminals take over. We're extending Christmas specials into January 1st with free shipping store-wide, 50 to 25% off on all the nutraceuticals, all the supplements. Big discounts on non-GM heirloom seeds, water filtration systems, high-quality, fresh, produced right here in America, storable foods. Everybody should be getting self-sufficient or as independent as you can get while offensively engaging in the information war. Infowarsstore.com, free store-wide shipping, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. We're running out of Super Male Vitality. You have plenty of super female vitality, even though they say it works better for women. It's incredible what it's done to my stamina, my libido, just my focus, everything, my skin, that in the X-Tube. The reason I'm selling out of everything is I don't want to have to pay. Texas doesn't have an income tax, but it's got, for people that actually employ folks and have inventory, they've got a state income tax on property. It's a state property tax on businesses, really. It gets bigger all the time. They just keep raising it and raising it. So I try to keep inventory down as much as we can, or it really hits the overall operation in a big way and doesn't let us continue on even at current levels. So we're going to sell out, hopefully, of everything by January 1st. It'll be a few weeks or maybe even a few months with some items that we have that will not be available. So check it all out today and know that your purchase is a total win-win, because you cannot lose. You're funding an organization that tells it like it is and that is having a giant effect. So thank you all for your support. I want to get into some clips of when I was on big national Russian TV last week. The reason this is so important is this is independent media. It's not state-run in Russia. Russia has plenty of that. A couple of these guys are top advisors to Vladimir Putin. So you can hear their view on things, and there's also an intro piece about me and stuff. I'm not going to play all of it. I was on the show an hour, but we probably should post the whole thing to InfoWars. It's got a English translation on it, but it's not as good as our in-house translation that we did with Daria. So, again, that's coming up in a few minutes. I said I'd play Obama, but I don't know if I have time ahead of Watson. But let's go ahead and go to your calls. Let's talk to who's up first here. Uncle Sam in the great city of New Orleans. You're on the air.
Yes, Alex. Good day. I have to correct you on something. About a month ago, you mentioned that you've never heard or met anybody coming out of Harvard that was worth anything. I want to give you a name. Professor Iris Mack, that's with a K, M-A-C-K, Harvard educated. Here's another anomaly about her. She's a black woman raised in New Orleans that's a libertarian. Trumped for Trump. She has now come out with a new book. It's called The Wall Street Bailout for Main Street. You want to get her as a
guest. I want her on. Sounds like I want to carry the book. I want to read it. Let me be clear. I think you're paraphrasing what I said. I said, so many of the globalists that are so horrible are out of Harvard. That's really the criminal conspiracy right there, along with Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. And you've got people like Professor Boyle out of Harvard, people like Steve Pachinik that are exposing the system. There's a ton of great people out of Harvard. I'm saying predominantly it's these delusional globalists that think they're God's gift to the planet that go to Harvard to be recruited by the globalists to be part of the criminal operation. Chicago Business School as well. So that's mainly where they're farming their criminal operatives.
She was recruited by Larry Summers and worked on Wall Street with him. She was one of the first people to blow the whistle on the derivatives fraud.
What's her name again? I think I've heard of her. I mean, I've had Naomi Prinz also that was in all that. She's exposed it. What's her name?
Professor Iris Mack, M-A-C-K. MIT, Harvard, Tulane, physics, mathematician.
Hey, we'll get her on. We'll get her on. Very exciting. I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Let's talk to John in Wyoming. There's so many great people out there. So tell us about these folks. John in Wyoming, go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, I agree with you 100%. I think Obama and John Kerry are going to try to precipitate a false flag operation, blame not only Putin but Trump supporters for it, as well as precipitate a civil war before he goes out on his scorched earth policy so he can declare martial law and start picking up people's firearms. This is what it's all about. I mean, this man, look what he's done. He sent $150 billion to the Iranians to help their nuclear program.
And by the way, none of us are spectators in this, whether you want to be or not. We're under attack. This unprecedented insanity is happening. They're trying to cause a civil war in Israel right now.
That's right. And another thing to remember, look, Obama has promoted solar energy and wind energy in America for 8 years. But why doesn't he promote it in Iran? Because the Iranians can't make nuclear weapons with solar panels or wind turbines. So he's promoting nuclear energy there, just like Clinton when he allowed Westinghouse to sell two nuclear reactors in 1994 to North Korea, from which they've been extracting plutonium and making nuclear weapons.
Same deal. The Clintons are always behind it. It's total insanity. And while claiming Trump's trying to cause a nuclear war, when every real analyst says Trump is a godsend of detente. Notice Netanyahu, again, not perfect, but he's telling the truth here, comes out and has to have press conferences saying the U.S. government's policy was to abstain. They're behind this. I have proof. Of course it was. Our own media won't even blame Obama for Obama's official policy. I mean, they're calling it a conspiracy theory that Netanyahu says the U.S. was behind this vote when they were admittedly behind it, but part of Obama's legacy. I mean, this is the level of where they deny that there's 18,000 IRS agents hired to put penalties on you with Obamacare when people are getting hit with the penalties by the millions. It's this stonewall of lies.
Any wonder why Gerald Celente still refers to the media, and rightly so, as prostitutes? That's exactly what they are.
They are. They're media whores. They will lie for it. They're insane. They're totally insane. And I'm telling you, Obama is deranged. And all these weirdo professors getting foundation money from the richest robber barons to say, I'm white, I'm a communist, let's go kill white people. I mean, this is the craziest crap. The average white person's like everybody else, picking their kids up, doing laundry, going to the softball game, going to church. I mean, what the hell, man? It is that they are such flaming criminals. And it's not black people that are mainly doing it. It's a bunch of scum, a bunch of weirdo white people.
Look at all of the electors who had their lives threatened prior to the Electoral College vote, that if they didn't change their vote for Hillary, that they were going to be assassinated. And yet no one from the Justice Department has done a darn thing to investigate.
Look, people kept asking why nobody stopped Lenin and then Stalin, and nobody stopped Hitler in their own countries. I'm telling you, and I don't get up here and talk like this in 20-something years on air. It's time, folks, for the states to get together, for emergency declarations, for Trump to have the backing of the states, it should come from the states, though, and to call for him to get into office early and stop Obama. Obama is clearly, like when the Nazis were losing in Russia, they burned and blew everything up as they went back, okay? This is what they are blowing the country up in front of us, and they're so pissed to see the ball and chain taken off our leg and the economy already exploding. And they're openly trying to freeze the economy right now. We are under seditious attack. God bless you, John. Here's the deal. I cannot come up with rhetoric strong enough, okay? I mean, we're seeing stuff happen that if it happened 10 years ago, every real liberal would be out in the streets freaking out. They've passed a law to put the intelligence agencies over, quote, all media and shut everybody down, calling us enemy combatants. This is crazy town. And then I see all these weird leftist sites going, good, arrest Alex Jones. Why? Because I want lower taxes? At least treat the people coming in with drug-resistant TB and syphilis and MRSA and all these other forms of third-world diseases like leprosy is making a comeback? Hadn't been here in hundreds of years? They know people got leprosy coming in. And they're just saying, come on in. They don't even treat them. I mean, folks, we literally have people trying to destroy the country. I mean, I don't just say that. They are literally out to get us. They are foaming at the mouth, crazy people. Look at this. Look at this professor that says, kill all the whites. I mean, you look at this guy, and Reuters reports on it like it might be a good thing. Look at this crazy person if you're a TV viewer. Look at him. These little nothings, couldn't find his way out of a paper bag. Government's paid for him his whole life. Mega banks finance him through foundations. And he sits there just dreaming of death. Ha, you little punk. You actually start a physical war with us. You have any idea what's going to happen to you? You are a sniveling piece of trash. And if you start it, you're going to get trampled under our feet. And I don't take any pleasure in that. I don't run out in the field and start stomping on dog crap. You understand that? I want you to get out of my way. Just get out of my way. Go be scum in the corner. Sit there and hate everybody because you're a piece of trash. I love everybody, and I want us to win, and we're going to, scumbag. Get out of our way. Get out. Get out of our way, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. George Mayer, servant of Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, get behind me. Get behind me. If you hate humanity so much, then you have the courage to slit your own wrist. Kill yourself before you call for killing a whole group of people because of what color they are, you sniveling demon. You snake. All right, let's go to this Russia piece. Here's the little intro piece. They took clips of our show for National Russian TV. And then I don't want to play the part, not where I was on there, but let's play the part where they were responding and talking. And it's an hour long. It didn't even have any commercials, but it's private media. I mean, a couple of these guys are Putin advisors. I mean, top Putin advisors. So here is the intro.
We have a special program today because in a few moments we are joined by a legendary American journalist, Alex Jones. But before that, let's see this short piece about our today's special guest, Alex Jones. Mainstream media, the fourth estate, is molding us today. We form our worldview, our perception of reality, depending on how the mainstream media presents the information to us. In the Western world, the dictatorship of the liberal paradigm is all too obvious when it comes to the media, but it's become especially brazen during the U.S. presidential race. All the big media moguls openly supported the war criminal Hillary Clinton. Round the clock, with the help of lies, distortions, and fake polls, they praised her political platform and assured of her inevitable win. Meanwhile, all the front pages of every other publication portray Trump as a loser, intentionally exaggerating his supposed dark past. His words taken out of context and repeated over and over on all media outlets. On November 8, the main Western media operations had already prepared their November 9 issue with Hillary's portrait on the cover and headline, "Madam President." And television programs have prepared reports praising the lady kingpin of the world financial elites. Something went wrong, and all the pre-scripted news packages turned a complete fiasco. They put everything on the line and failed miserably. The predetermined Clinton win has suffered a death blow. The numbers spoke for themselves. Trump won. No one in the U.S. mainstream media believed or wanted to believe in Trump. No one, except for those in the scientific polls, Los Angeles Times, and one dynamic, highly passionate, energetic, and unrelenting journalist and documentary producer Alex Jones, the director and editor-in-chief of InfoWars News. It is this journalist who had the courage to show the truth of what is really going on in the United States. For many years, he has been fighting the false narratives of the mainstream media information. He has exposed the globalist liberal ideology prevailing in a totalitarian style on the modern Western media front. He reported on the financial elites, their stakes and strategies during the election. Alex Jones believes that behind all the world's media outlets, there's an ideological liberal agenda which aims at building a unipolar empire. This world government manipulates all the prominent media systems for the sake of their own personal interests. He was all but ostracized for continually exposing the war crimes of Hillary Clinton. They avoided mentioning his name, and his website suffered repeated denial of service attacks. But they couldn't stop him. His videos continue to gather hundreds of thousands of views. InfoWars.com was practically the only resource where the elections were covered thoroughly and objectively. They didn't cut their live feeds when someone voiced criticism towards the FBI, and they discussed the WikiLeaks dumps. InfoWars has built itself to serve the interests of the American people. This media organization showed its independence from the world financial elites. It showed its sovereignty from the globalist owners. And today, when all the mainstream liberal media have utterly been discredited, revealing themselves as puppets, InfoWars, along with the new independent media outlets, are becoming powerful forces in the new era and new paradigm which ushered Donald Trump.
Now, this is Vladimir Putin's favorite TV show. Just what you're watching. It's on record. You can look it up. In fact, I'll play another clip and tell you all about the station and the national network. But this is what they're preaching. Christianity, family, battling the globalists, battling the New World Order. They've thrown the oligarchs out. They want America to throw out the globalists as well, and Europe. It's not the Russians behind it. We're in solidarity with the Russians. And this is what they're claiming is Russia manipulating America. No, our Americana ideas are going into Russia more than their ideas here. And they basically say that. Let's go to some clips that have been translated.
I'm very happy that Alex Jones is live with us right now. We have been following you, Alex, for many years, including myself personally. And when you became truly celebrated in this new era of Donald Trump, I marveled at you. The fact that such people as yourself, who embody such free and independent points of view, which are shared in reality by millions of people, Americans and worldwide, and millions of Russian people, how you became a hero of this campaign, how you told the truth while everyone else lied, how you held your ground fearlessly against all the attacks and all the dirt that they were throwing your way. And whether it be Russians, Europeans, Asians, or Turks, for us, you are an example of a true American man, the true American spirit. You, Alex, have changed our view of who a real American is. If the American people are anything like you, then the attitude toward your country, toward your people, will be radically changed. And when Donald Trump won, whom you supported, and whom we were all also in solidarity with, when you and him and all of us won, I said this.
Anti-Americanism is over.
Anti-Americanism is over. Now the people of the free United States, free Russia, and all the anti-globalist powers worldwide have to build a new world, new architecture. We are exceedingly glad to see you on our program broadcasting live right now. And from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for being the genuine face of real America. Good evening, Alex. My name is Andrey Afanasyev, and I'm the host of The Russian Answer. My show is about geopolitics, strategy, and diplomacy, and we regularly follow you and your colleagues at InfoWars, including your presence on social media. And of course, lately, especially, InfoWars has been under attacks and pressure coming from the swamp of the mainstream media. But after Clinton lost, they weren't able to accept it. It seems they don't have the strength of mind to recognize their defeat. And of course, they have to attack the ones who played such an important role in this victory, which is you and your colleagues in the independent American Patriot media. Today, we find ourselves together in the same situation. See, when you speak of the civil war that is happening in America, the same civil war is happening in Europe. And in the same civil war, which was started 16 years ago in our country, the forces of good have also been victorious. That's why we understand that today we are all in the same situation, whether it be Russians, Americans, or Europeans. The globalists do not represent America. They are the enemy of the American people. And when you tell people,
you are resistance,
addressing your supporters, it sounds like a call to all the people worldwide to shake off the dominance of the globalist elites and establish in each of our countries our own American order in America, Russian order in Russia, Turkish order in Turkey. And this war and struggle is what unites us. Prior to a certain point, the global corporations, transnational corporations, the globalist elites were presented to us as the voice of the United States. But thanks to Trump's victory, we now know that there is a distinct difference between the American people, that's you, that's those who are the resistance to the globalist dictatorship, and the political elites, which organize color revolutions against us. And they, the Soroses, the Clintons, the Obama administration, the so-called deep state, they also organized color revolutions against Trump, refusing to recognize the democratic victory of the American people. And all of us united have to think about how we can resist this elite. We, the people, each defending our own system of values, have to engage in dialogue in terms of what do we want to build instead of globalism. And this time, to build it not in opposition to America, not in opposition to Russia, not in opposition to Turkey, not so that we fight each other to protect our narrow national interests, which is what the globalists impose on us, to fight with each other, a civil war. We have to avoid this. And that's why the communication and dialogue between us, exchange of ideas and different views, is so important.
Now, again, there's an hour of this, and I'm going to have it posted at InfoWars.com today with some of the parts that have had a translation put on it. Daria does an amazing job. She sounds better than the folks they have on BBC and RT. She does an amazing job. And her parents came here to escape the Soviet Union, and she's a great Army veteran and just done amazing things working here in the last couple of years at InfoWars. But I tell you, Buckley did a great job when her email came through, getting her through and, again, getting her hired so that we can translate these things. But, again, how do you pronounce the name of the TV network? I know it's nationwide in Russia, Daria. Because I don't want to pronounce it wrong.
Repeat that question again, Alex.
How do you pronounce the name of the TV network? Now, there it is on screen.
It's called Tsargrad TV.
And then I guess the website is, what's the URL? We've got it on screen. I don't want to tell folks the URL.
Yeah, tsargrad.tv.
And for the folks that don't know, we had Vice here when they were on, and the guy was flipping out by the people that were on that show. Those are like some of Trump's top advisors. So he was like walking in, and they're like, oh, my God, you are a Russian agent. What's going on here? And my whole point is I'm promoting 1776 worldwide. All that means is human liberty against, you know, any centralized tyranny, national sovereignty, family, right to religion, a true open civilization. That idea is what made America great. And so the world's rediscovering what America really is, and they're going to end up adopting a lot of our ideas, we'll adopt their ideas, but it's a true world at peace. And that a true world that can actually organize against radical Islam that the globalists are basically using to smash and control the West. And so it's very clear what's happening. And I saw this operation decades ago. I knew we could form an opposition to it, as I've said thousands of times. Even if you've only been a listener a few years, you've heard this thousands of times. I say it every day. You expose globalists, you expose their system, you expose how anti-human it is, how it's a technocracy based on the end of humanity as we know it, a eugenics-based system. Everyone will want to resist it because it's so evil. But it's all about hoaxes and false realities and confusing everyone and misrepresenting countries and playing us off against each other. But the moment people click and break through that, it's all over. There's no coming back. And every fiber of you then wants to see human prosperity, human destiny fulfilled, and you want to see the globalists that want to have some nuclear war death wish, some satanic Ragnarok fall. All right, hour number four, straight ahead. I'm going to come back, take a few calls, and then hand the baton to Paul Watson. If you just joined us for the first time, you have found it, the Info War.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. We're living
on the edge. Global corporate governments risen its ugly head, and national sovereignty is fighting it. The globalists would have brought prosperity like they promised. They would have won. But they're so maniacal, so greedy, so arrogant, they told everybody their plan. And so now their new world order is dead on arrival. Still got a long way to fight. It's going to be rough, and we might have a nuclear war. But the truth's out historically now. And the globalists will never get away with it. They'll never complete it. You know that metaphysically, culturally, spiritually, but just in your gut, don't you? Okay, who's up next? Who's been holding the longest? I was about to go to somebody and they hung up. That last caller hang up? Okay, who's up holding the next here? Thanks for holding, guys. Chris in Virginia, then Timothy. Go ahead.
Yeah, when Russia had kept the United States out of the peace talks in Syria, and the White House and the State Department downplayed it, it got me thinking that that was a signal to them of the global realignment that's coming. So it seemed like to me that it accelerated a lot of this stuff that's going on.
Yeah, and nobody be running away from us if the globalists weren't being such bullies. And exactly, Russia has said, you're shipping arms to the bad rebels, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and we know you're doing stuff, so we don't want you part of this anymore. You've broken your deal.
Yeah, they. It just seems crazy to me that at this time, a lot of people know that with Trump, it really is. He really is going to drain that swamp because, you know, a lot of these people, they're saying now that you can't be millionaires and billionaires to run our country. What kind of stuff is that?
Yeah, all I care about is they cut the taxes and get jobs going and actually rebuild things. He needs people that have been on the inside to know how to run it. But these are Rex Tillerson. All these guys are people that fought the globalists before. So, I mean, almost everybody he's appointing is really good. A few of them I've got issues with, but all I care about is what he delivers. And as soon as he delivers, look at how the economy's already turning back on just because investors now know we're about to have prosperity.
So is their only last course of action? To me, it seems it has to be war.
And you see him trying to start war. That's what's so crazy. I heard Obama give a speech that brought tears to my eyes. It was so powerful. All about peace and love. In the meanwhile, his controllers are doing the exact thing they claim that they're fighting. God bless you. Thanks for calling, Chris. Great questions, great points. Timothy in Alaska, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Howdy. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hi. My name's Tim. I'm an Alaskan. I'm a born Alaskan. I'm a proud American. I wanted to say something, and I thought that it was topical. I live internationally. I live with my beautiful girlfriend in the Netherlands. Recently got married. This is really nice to hear from you because people always say on these image boards and message boards, like, oh, Alex Jones screens all his calls. He's like this crazy guy who is under all this crazy control and nobody actually gets through. These are all fake. This is interesting. I thought it was topical. I wasn't a viewer of your show 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, but I started getting into it once. A very strange thing happened. It's when Hillary Clinton, during the second presidential debate, said that Donald Trump was a Russian puppet. And at the time, I had no clue that Russia was even part of the conversation. And I'd watched your show before, listened a little bit here and there beforehand, before all this went down years and years ago, of course, you know, because you're everywhere. Obviously, you have a lot of very dedicated followers and fans of one I am now.
Sure. So what are you saying clicked in your brain?
Oh, it was definitely when she said he's a puppet of Russia. And for my entire life, it was always Russia isn't a direct enemy to the U.S. It's not as if they're making crazy trade wars against us and denouncing.
Look, the very same globalists that are running the Muslims right now took over Russia. U.S. and British intelligence took it over. The Bolsheviks were all from the U.S. and England. It was a reign of terror over Russia. Russia finally kicked them out. That's why the globalists are so pissed. They're being kicked out everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And that's once I started doing my own research, something that I always like to do beforehand. I still do it now as well, but I now have another fantastic sort, Infowars.com. And you mentioned beforehand that knowing the IP address of the websites that you like is very important. I will say that that is excruciatingly important. I have yours written down, of course.
Thank you, brother. I'm glad you got through. And, of course, you're pretty close to Russia up there in Alaska. That means you must be an agent. I'm gonna introduce Paul Watson straight ahead.
The world is a dangerous place, not because of evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center. It's Alex Jones.
During the break, a lot of our, quote, ads are really one-minute vignettes of breaking news. I had meant to cover this the last 3 hours. I'm about to introduce Paul Watson and punch out of here and get on to the nightly news, another work we've got here at the Central Texas News Center in Austin. And I was hearing him read from the official German government, who's hired former Stasi members to have task forces to go out and find people that, you know, criticize Islam and then fine them 500 plus euros. Well, now they have a task force where they're going to find Facebook. on any fake news that Snopes says is fake or some mail order diploma catalog out of Florida. I'm not kidding. That has six employees. So a man and his woman and their cat. The cat even looks like a dirt bag. And then you've got this mail order catalog thing. And then you've got them and then Stasi people. I mean, imagine 50 years ago writing a Kurt Vonnegut article about in the future, there's a fat lady and her fat cat and a mail order diploma catalog. And then they've hired the Stasi, the East German spies out of retirement, to censor everybody and don't criticize Islam. And then they said, because the Russians are influencing things and maybe this will keep Merkel in power. Translate that. Merkel and the globalists have panicked. They're going to go ahead and censor everything and hire former secret police to run it and then run around and harass everybody and fine them. I mean, whoa. And they've just passed a law countering information warfare. And then they sit there and say, we're involved in information warfare. What? Zuckerberg says, my users trust me. They're dumb Fs. And they're deploying little robots in everybody's houses where you get discounts if you take the robot, and then it listens to you and watches you and even babysits your kids. Paul Watson, I know you got a lot to cover today, but I got to tell you, this is really hitting Twilight Zone. I know a lot of these top globalists think we're really a matrix and this couldn't be real. I'm kind of thinking it is. Like, I'm the star and you're the star of this fight against global tyranny and they want to ban us and they say we're Russian agents. Is this like a dark satire, Kurt Vonnegut comedy, VR, deal? And we're really in the future and we're just some hallucination of somebody? Because this is so ridiculous. You know, you and I are Russian agents like we're Keebler elves.
Well, as I said before, Alex, I'm still waiting on my paycheck from the Kremlin. It hasn't arrived. The thing about the fake news issue is, they did a study into it and found that all these fake, for a start, this recent article, you know, these 20 top stories had a bigger impact on the election than the 20 top political stories of the last month of the election. They looked into that, a bunch of different websites, found that was completely bogus. And then if you look at the actual, quote, fake news websites, which there are some, and we've been warning about them, by the way, for years before this, you know, insiders within the Kremlin say this. It was BS from the start. We told everyone.
And we told
BS.
You it was the globalists doing it to point everything at Russia.
And now suddenly we're being blamed for it. You analyze the fake news websites on Alexa and look at how they rank. They did it. 91,688 for one of the top fake news websites on Alexa. Another one, 84,000. Another one, even lower. So these fake news websites.
By the way, if you're 84,000 on the web, if you're 84,000 on the web, it means you're getting like 50 visitors a day.
Yeah, and one of the top ones, the Denver Guardian, 184,000 in the U.S. I mean, if they go much lower, Alexa isn't even going to rank.
And by the way, it's mainstream caught in all the fake news. They're the ones that run ads for fake news. The New York Times has an article about banning fake news in the same article saying that Alec Baldwin was dead at 58. So what's crazy is we're bigger than the New York Times online, according to Quantcast. They're panicking. Do you think they'll be successful, Paul?
No, they failed already. They did a poll. The first poll found, I think it was 59% of Americans don't believe this fake news narrative. There was a second poll, even more didn't believe it. And then you look at the New York Times editorial page last week. They were whining about the fact that we took this fake news controversy that they created and turned it against them.
Showing all the fake news they put out.
Yeah, to call the mainstream media fake news. So now the New York Times is writing editorials whining about that. The polls show people don't believe it. So just like every other narrative in the past 3 months, it's completely fallen flat on its face. That's why you've seen the Facebook stuff with Merkel now and the fines.
And I'm going to let folks go and turn it over to you, Paul, but that's exactly my next point. Next is censorship, next is war, and right on time they're doing that, completely disconnected. Germans hate Merkel for bringing in 5 million jihadis into Europe, 3 million into Germany the last 5 years. They're sick of her, not because of Pooty Poot.
No, as you said before the break, Russia has been fighting Islamic terrorism for decades before Germany was fighting it. And now we get the Washington Post saying Europe may face a grim future with terrorism as a fact of life, saying that just accept it, that your people are going to be blown up, that little kids are going to be run over.
Oh, no, it's worse.
Lunatics.
Merkel blamed internet freedom on the jihad attacks when she's the one that brought them in. They bring them in, they attack, then they take our rights. Exactly what we've been saying for years are going to do, Paul. Oh, but we're the fake news. And remember, the two fake news lists they were using previously, one was another professor lady and she, who takes cat photos again. That means she's smarter than us. Well, I have two cats, lady. You only have one. And then the other was a completely fake list. The Washington Post said they didn't know where they got it. So their fake news list are literally pulled out of their rear ends. Paul, you take over. I just want listeners to know, free shipping store-wide, extended into the new year, and we've got to sell out of everything because of tax issues. That's 50 to 25% off everything. InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139. There's also amazing nutraceuticals, over 400 of them, with the great folks from Youngevity at InfoWarsTeam.com. When you purchase the great Youngevity products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, Osteo FX, and others at InfoWarsTeam.com, you get the biggest discounts, free shipping with AutoShip, become a distributor, get even bigger discounts, and a small portion of the proceeds, about 5, 6%, goes to fund the InfoWar. So if you love those great products, InfoWarsTeam.com. There's also a toll-free number, 888-789-9277. Again, Paul Watson taking over from London. The Nightly News is coming up tonight, 7 o'clock Central. They're trying to censor us because we're on target. Globally, world leaders are listening. I told you this years ago. Now it's all admitted. I even held back really the real magnitude because it sounded insane until everybody actually saw it manifest because it was already happening. But bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, we need your prayers, your support now more than ever. These are products you need, so thank you for purchasing them. But more importantly, keep spreading the word about the articles and videos. This stuff is pure poison to the New World Order behemoth, Paul Watson.
Okay, thanks, Alex. And of course, another fake news item, which happened at the tail end of last year, New Year's Eve, happened in Germany with the migrants, of course, the mass molestation of women in Cologne. The German media failed to report on that massive story as women were being molested in the streets, as onlookers said it was a civil war-style situation. The media completely not only failed to report on it, were ordered not to do so by the government. It only came out because German women were posting on social media the fact that they were being molested. That, of course, turned many Germans against Merkel's migrant policy, but not just against the government, against the media in Germany, which with its own brand of fake news has been complicit in covering up the horrible consequences of this migrant policy. Another which is being reported on by the Daily Mail today. 7 migrants arrested after a sleeping homeless man was set on fire on Christmas Eve at a Berlin subway station. Of course, this is after the footage of the woman being kicked down the stairs in a separate incident. And now 7 migrants have been arrested after a homeless man was set on fire in Berlin. The men aged 15 to 21 are suspected of torching the victim as he slept on a platform bench at a train station. 6 of the suspects are Syrian, 1 is Libyan, and an attempted murder investigation has been launched. So they're still looking for these people. They were captured on CCTV. After they set the homeless man on fire, they celebrated the attack. Another example of the cultural enrichment that Germany is currently enjoying, of course. There's a huge police presence in Cologne for the New Year's Eve celebrations this year, set to take place here in just a few days' time. They've got a massive security operation, but they've got people on the ground who will approach women after they've been molested and give them a nice, calm talking to. So even the police admit that they're not going to try and stop this molestation if it happens again. They're just going to talk to the victims after the fact. Great. Given the large presence of police officers in Cologne, though, you're not going to see it, you would think, on the scale that it was last year in Cologne. But as we talked about in a previous show, you may see it in other cities. The big question is, will the German media even report on it this time? BBC News reports men saw over white trash racist abuse on train. This is a hate crime that's not going to get too much play. British Transport Police are attempting to trace a group of Asian men. And by Asian men, that's the politically correct term that the British media uses for Muslim men. But they just say Asian men. What, Chinese men? Japanese men? No, they can't say Muslim men because it's not politically incorrect. They have to say Asian men. They racially abused a woman on a train. This was a packed train at rush hour traveling from Glasgow. The group took pictures of the woman, called her white trash and other names, made sexual gestures before they got off the train. The woman was not physically harmed but left distressed by the incident. Police have appealed for witnesses. So again, this is an example of a white woman being abused on a train. It will not make national headlines like every incident of Muslims being abused on public transport does in the British media, some of which, of course, as we've seen with the Trump cases, turn out to be complete hoaxes. But surely the Muslim men can just claim that the white woman has institutional power over them. Therefore, it's not racism, right? Because reverse racism doesn't exist. We'll be back with the next segment of the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. Breaking news at Infowars.com. Don't go away. On the Alex Jones Show, coming up in the next segment, we're going to play a clip of Thomas Sowell, the conservative writer, columnist, and philosopher. Of course, he announced a couple of days ago that he will be retiring. He's 86 years old, and he's given us absolute pearls of wisdom down the years. We're going to play a clip of Thomas Sowell and go through some of his highlights, some of his famous quotes as it relates to socialism and conservatism. Also going to talk about Carrie Fisher briefly and the reaction to that. But the Washington Post reports, Europe may face a grim future with terrorism as a fact of life. The article states, new Islamic State efforts to sow terror in Europe are pushing counter-terrorism authorities to their limits, forcing citizens and their leaders to resign themselves to a new era where attacks may be a fact of life, not an exception. Now, this, of course, echoes the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan's comment a couple of months ago that violent terror attacks in major cities are just a fact of life that we're going to have to get used to. We're going to get used to the sight of literal children being mangled as trucks plow through crowds on major streets in Europe, at Christmas markets in Germany. We're just going to have to get used to that. We're just going to get used to people being massacred at gunpoint as they sit in cafes in Paris. You know, people being blown up. We're just going to get used to that. That's just diversity. That's multiculturalism. And if you don't like it, if you don't like that threat of being massacred in cold blood, then maybe you're racist. Again, it's part of this Stockholm syndrome that we see from the media. Every time it seems an attack happens, they just get more and more limp wristed. You see the hashtags, pray for Berlin. You see the Facebook profile pictures with the national flag on them. Hug a Muslim in the street. It's actually quite funny that one of those hug a Muslim guys who posed for all the photographs saying, you know, I'm a Muslim, hug me, it's all about love, actually turned out to be a terrorist, but they don't like to tell you about that. But again, it's this limp-wristed response. This is part of diversity that we have to tolerate being slaughtered in our own streets. Well, no, some of us aren't going to tolerate that, Washington Post. RT reports, signs Berlin attack suspect passed through Netherlands on way to Italy. So not only did he go through France, Italy, and Germany, but he also went through the Netherlands. An East Amri, the Berlin Christmas market attack suspect killed by Italian police in Milan, may have travelled half of Europe to shake off his pursuers. Dutch police suspect he may have entered the country after the attack in Germany. So he went through all these different countries. Again, Europe has no borders whatsoever anymore, no way to catch actual terrorists. What was also interesting about this, Anis Amri, the latest poster boy for the Religion of Peace, was that immediately after the attack, he snuck into a mosque. You remember that there was that one eyewitness that led police to a suspect that subsequently turned out not to be the killer. The real terrorist had actually snuck in a mosque nearby in Berlin and stayed the night. So even though the leaders of that mosque knew that there had been a massive, devastating terror attack just a few miles away, they allowed a terrorist to stay the night in the mosque. They gave him aid. They gave him comfort. They gave him protection, which again goes back to the point that this is a wider issue than just radical Islam. This is about Islam, period. You saw with Abdeslam, one of the Paris massacre culprits, again, he went back to Molenbeek, Belgium, where he was shielded for months on end by his own family, his own friends, his own community, who knew that he was a terrorist who had just taken part in a massive slaughter in Paris, France. Yet they said absolutely nothing. That's why ISIS says they're going to recruit their next wave of terrorists out of these Islamic ghettos, which are being created with the green light, with the stamp of approval from our own governments. So now it turns out that this guy went through the Netherlands, as well as France, as well as Italy, as well as Germany, before and after this attack. Breitbart reports Christians most persecuted religious group in the world. Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world, with around 90,000 killed for their faith in 2016. The director of a leading religious study group has said, the director of the Center of Studies on New Religions told Vatican Radio that around 500 million Christians in the world are unable to express their faith completely freely, while around 90,000, one every 6 minutes, died for their faith in the past year alone. But all we're told to get upset about is people having their hijabs pulled on public transport. In many cases, hate crimes that turn out to be complete hoaxes. We'll be back on The Alex Jones Show, breaking news at Infowars.com. Don't go away.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Back on the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. We're going to get back into the news here in a second. First, I want to tell you about free shipping store-wide and all new specials now live at InfoWarsStore.com. In addition to extending our 2016 Christmas specials and free shipping store-wide, we have just launched two new specials at InfoWarsStore.com to help make your body great again in 2017. One of them is Liver Shield Liver Cleanse Formula. We have that at 20% off at InfoWarsLife.com. And when you get Liver Shield plus the Oxy Powder Colon Cleanser together in the Advanced Liver Cleanse Pack, we're giving you a massive 30% off. The Advanced Liver Cleanse Pack contains the two formulas you need to complete your full liver cleanse. These two new 2017 cleanse specials are in addition to all of these extended 2016 Christmas specials that are quickly selling out. And again, free shipping store-wide on all these products. Living Defense, 30% off. Super Male Vitality, 30% off. Silver Bullet, Colloidal Silver, 50% off. Brain Force Plus, 33% off. Winter Sun Vitamin D, 25% off. Survival Shield X2, 30% off. BioTrue Selenium, 30% off. Again, we've extended those discounts at InfoWarsLife.com. And free shipping on absolutely everything. You don't get that nasty little extra charge when you go to pay for your products. So again, free shipping store-wide. Massive discounts on all those products extended for a short time only at InfoWarsStore.com. Help support our network as we take on the mainstream media in 2017, as we're derided, denounced, censored as fake news while we're fighting the actual fake news, which is them. InfoWarsStore.com for all those great products. Again, free shipping store-wide. Now, Carrie Fisher, the Star Wars actress, died, of course, yesterday. She was basically depressed for a large portion of her life. Her depression had nothing to do with her death. She died of a heart attack. But this is out of the New York Times. Fans tweet about mental illness to honor Carrie Fisher. The actress Carrie Fisher, who spoke openly about her struggles with mental illness, once joked that she wanted to start a bipolar pride day to help erase the stigma of the disease. Legions of fans seemed to grant her wish on Tuesday in the hours after her death at age 60, one after another, in words both plain spoken and deeply personal. Admirers paid tribute to Miss Fisher by coming out on Twitter with their own stories of mental illness. So then this article goes through a list of tweets from people who used the opportunity of Carrie Fisher's unfortunate death to tweet about their mental illness, about their depression. And again, this is an issue that crops up again and again and again. You know, we're living longer. We have access to all manner of entertainment, all manner of distractions. Our quality of life is better than ever before. And we're going to get onto some of that with the Thomas Sowell quotes. You know, compared to past generations, we've had it better than any of them. You know, back in the 50s, a lot of people didn't even have a television set. Now we've got multiple opportunities to entertain ourselves, communicate with people, live longer, live happier, and yet, what do you see? Well, over the past two decades, the use of antidepressants has gone through the roof. 1 in 10 Americans are now on antidepressants, and that is just the ones who report that they are. 1 in 4 women in their 40s and 50s is also on antidepressants. 1 in 4! Even though we supposedly live in the greatest era ever when it comes to personal comfort. Now, it's interesting that we see this depression issue cropping up again and again, because I was reading a quote from Theodore Dalrymple, who is a British author, and he was a doctor who treated people for depression. And his argument basically boiled down to this, and I'll read the quote in a second. You don't have a right to be happy. Okay, happiness is earned by the way that you live your life. You don't suddenly become afflicted with this new disease called depression and then throw pills at it, swallow pills, and think that that can treat something when that's not even the source of it. The source of your depression is more accurately called unhappiness. You're unhappy because you're not fulfilling your potential in life and because you're not even striving for it. Again, happiness is earned. The way you live your life determines whether you're happy or not. You can't live your life in a damaging way and just hate people, hate the world around you, have no actual bonds with anyone, not be authentic to yourself, and then just expect to be happy. You have to earn that happiness. And again, we have the culture, this dead-end culture, you know, encouraging everyone to be depressed at the end of the day, because it's a hedonistic, meaningless culture. It encourages people to embrace that hedonism. When it's meaningless, it's not going to fulfill them. It only brings ruin. It only brings regret. So again, this is what the British author Theodore Dalrymple said about this. He was a doctor for many decades in many different countries. Of course, by the end of his career as a doctor, he came back to the West and was constantly seeing patients who claimed they were depressed. Like Carrie Fisher was depressed for many, many years, which of course prompted the outpouring of tweets that I just mentioned in that New York Times article. Listen to this quote from Theodore Dalrymple. There is something to be said here about the word depression, which has almost entirely eliminated the word and even the concept of unhappiness from modern life. Of the thousands of patients I have seen, only 2 or 3 have ever claimed to be unhappy. All the rest have said that they were depressed. This semantic shift is deeply significant, for it implies that dissatisfaction with life itself is pathological, a medical condition, which is it is the responsibility of the doctor to alleviate by medical means. Again, 4 in 10 American women in their 40s and 50s on antidepressants. 1 in 10 Americans, and that's probably old figures, on antidepressants. It continues. Everyone has a right to health. Depression is unhealthy. Therefore, everyone has a right to be happy, the opposite of being depressed. This idea in turn implies that one's state of mind or one's mood is or should be independent of the way that one lives one's life. A belief that must deprive human existence of all meaning, radically disconnecting reward from conduct. So again, it's this idea that you can live your life in whatever irresponsible way imaginable, whatever damaging way imaginable, and still, after all that, be happy. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. That's why depression has increased, because at least in the past, you know, people didn't have the quality of life that we have access to now. They weren't living longer. They weren't healthier. They struggled with more illnesses, and yet they were happier. it all boils down to the fact that they were living authentic lives. And again, they knew that happiness wasn't a right. You have to earn it by the way you live your life. It's very, very simple. But again, most people can't put their finger on the fact that they're unhappy. They say it's depression, as if it's an outside factor coming in to influence their lives. It's not. It comes from within. It comes from the way you conduct yourself in your life. But again, the culture, the media fetishizes it. I mean, you've got that combined with the rampant narcissism that obsession with social media has created. And of course, it becomes an attention-seeking issue to say that you're constantly depressed all the time. Again, it's because you're not living your life the right way. And I thought that was a very important comment by the author Theodore Dalrymple on this issue, given that it's come to prominence again after the death of Carrie Fisher. Let's talk about Thomas Sowell, the African-American social theorist, philosopher, and author. Of course, he announced a couple of days ago that he would be retiring from writing altogether. He's not going to be writing his column anymore. 86 years old. We're going to go through some of his quotes, and in fact, I'm going to read some of his final article. But you had the mass riots, the brawls in malls across America over the past few days again. Mostly black teenagers. Not all, but mostly black teenagers. Why do they behave like this in America and not necessarily in other countries? Well, Thomas Sowell put his finger on this many times, and in fact, we've got a clip which we're going to go to in a second, where he identified something that was very different about black culture for black kids growing up in the United States than it was for them growing up in other countries. So let's go to that Thomas Sowell clip. Here it is.
It's like, I mean, the average of black kid today, I think, is probably better off, certainly materially, than, say, Ben Carson was when he was growing up.
Ben Carson, the famous black surgeon at Johns Hopkins.
Right, right.
Who is immensely accomplished in every way.
Yes.
Right.
I would say that certainly the black kids who are growing up today have a higher material standard of living than I had. The difference was that the schools were good when I came along. They were especially good in New York at that time, hard as that is to believe. The kids who grew up in that same place where I lived, they will not get that same education. Now, that can be blamed on somebody, but it has very little to do with what happened 100 or 200 years ago. And it's true in other countries. I mean, in Nigeria, for example, there's a tribe, the Igbos, who are living in one of the least fertile parts of Nigeria, who were, in fact, enslaved in centuries past by other tribes and so on. When the British moved in and set up schools, the Igbos went for the schools. By the time Nigeria became independent, the Igbos had climbed above the other groups that had been ahead of them to begin with. So, but there are all kinds of cross currents of factors, the particular culture, or the particular geography. You run through the whole list of them.
Here's, you cite in Intellectuals and Race, you cite an observation by the intelligence expert, IQ scientist James Flynn, that just stopped me cold. Mm. After the Second World War, you've got large numbers of American troops remaining in Germany. For that matter, there's still several tens of thousands there today. And both black and white American soldiers had children with German women. Mm. And Flynn discovered that those children growing up in Germany showed no IQ differences at all. Mm. The black kids and the white kids, the same. Quote, quoting Intellectuals and Race, Professor Flynn concluded that the reason was that the offspring of black soldiers in Germany, and now you're quoting Professor Flynn, grew up in a nation with no black subculture.
Yes.
Close quote. Which means what? Which means they experienced exactly the same expectations. Is this the...
No. The expectations are external. The culture in which they grew up was not the culture in which black kids grew up in America today.
So they had...
There's no gangster rap that was pervasively available in Germany.
So here's what I'm getting. There is something about black subculture in America today that holds African Americans themselves back?
Yes. In fact, I went into this in a previous book, which about black rednecks and white liberals, because that same
let's talk about two of your books here. Go ahead.
Because that very same subculture held whites in the South back as well. That in the time this mental testing in the First World War turned up, among other things, the fact that whites from various four or five southern states scored lower on the mental test than blacks from four or five northern states. And so it really was a question of the subculture that was there, which was a handicap to both.
All right. And so whose job is it to say, wrong subculture, folks, you're harming yourselves?
Well, I would think in an ideal world that intellectuals might take on that task, but the world that we live in, I've noticed, is not ideal.
All right.
So there you heard Thomas Sowell, the conservative libertarian commentator, again, who announced that he would be retiring from writing his column at 86 years old. Again, absolutely perceptive thinker when it comes to culture, when it comes to black people growing up in America. Let's go through some of his best quotes here. This was compiled by the Daily Caller. You can go and read this. 50 brilliant Thomas Sowell reflections. Let's go through a few of them. These are all quotes, of course. The word risque would be almost impossible to explain to young people in a world where gross vulgarity is widespread and widely accepted. Of course, that's a comment on the increasing vulgarity of our culture, where the envelope needs to be pushed constantly, again and again and again, to the point where people are just being vulgar for being vulgar's sake. There's no actual artistic merit in anything they say. We see that with modern art over and over again. Here's another one. If you have always believed that everyone should play by the same rules and be judged by the same standards, that would have gotten you labeled a radical 60 years ago, a liberal 30 years ago, and a racist today. That, of course, relates to the fact that anyone who actually believes in equality in the modern age is denigrated as a racist. Now we have the Oppression Olympics League table, where people are ranked above others, given favors above others, given special minority privileges above others, based on their skin color and or religion. Or gender, simply saying that you want people to be equal, to have the same equal opportunities, regardless of their race, gender, or beliefs, that is now considered actually racist. You see that with race supremacist movements like Black Lives Matter, gender supremacist movements like feminism. And of course, MTV saying that this is what white people need to learn in 2017. This is how we stop racism. This is our anti-racist calling, by actually being racist against people, collectively demonizing them because of their skin color. That is the new anti-racism, is being flagrantly racist. Here's another one from Thomas Sowell. Racism does not have a good track record. It's been tried out for a long time, and you think that by now we'd want to put it to an end instead of putting it under new management, which is exactly as I just described, you know, MTV, this new trendy thing, that being racist against white people is okay. The last acceptable form of racism is racism against white people. And that shouldn't be the case. All racism should be despised equally. Thomas Sowell, another quote, the black family survived centuries of slavery and generations of Jim Crow, but it has disintegrated in the wake of the liberals' expansion of the welfare state. That's right. With, of course, black babies being aborted at record levels, nobody cares about it. Helping those who have been struck by unforeseeable misfortunes is fundamentally different from making dependency a way of life. We'll be back on the Alex Jones Show Live. Don't go away. So again, I'd encourage you to go and check out the Daily Caller article, 50 Brilliant Thomas Sowell Reflections, and go and read his final article, which relates to the clip we played about black people growing up, the culture that is inflicted upon them, and I'll definitely be exploring that issue in future presentations, in future videos. Let's hit a final few news stories here in the last segment of the show. Gateway Pundit reports Hawaiian restaurant bans people who voted for Trump. Once again, Donald Trump supporters are being targeted for their political views. Be prepared for nothing to happen about it, since there is a double standard for left-wing liberals in the United States. Of course, we had the massive list of fake hate crimes that have been committed by leftists, blamed on Trump supporters, completely contrived, made up out of whole cloth. Now Fox News reports Honolulu's Cafe 8.5 gets rave reviews on Yelp for its Radatore Verde and Italian stir fry, among other popular dishes. But the response to its new policy, barring pro-Trump patrons, has been decidedly more mixed. So again, they're banning people, they're refusing service to people for their political beliefs. But God forbid you be a Christian bakery and politely refuse service to anyone because of your personal beliefs. You will be sued, fined, shamed out of existence. Which ties into this story out of the Daily Mail. Furious shopper is ordered to go and join another queue by Muslim cashier who refused to sell him a bottle of wine because it was against her religion. A father of three has hit out at Tesco, which is a British supermarket, after a Muslim shop assistant refused to sell him a bottle of wine due to her religious beliefs. Lee Saunders was trying to buy the rosé wine at a superstore when he was told to go to a different till by the worker, who was aged in her 20s and wearing a headscarf. He was eventually served by a duty manager, but criticised the supermarket giant for putting a member of staff in that position. Saunders told the Sun he was miffed and baffled by the incident. So again, they refused to serve him because it was a Muslim woman who said it was against her personal belief. Bearing in mind she's working in a supermarket, which primarily is used to buy alcohol. I mean, why the hell did she get the job in the first place? But I guess that's okay, because we have the Oppression Olympics, where Muslims are at the top, everyone else is at the bottom. Christian bakeries get fined out of existence if they refuse to serve people because of their personal beliefs. But if you want to go to a Hawaiian restaurant and you voted for Donald Trump, then think again. Because, of course, it's only acceptable when it's being meted out against anyone who isn't a leftist. Well, Washington Examiner reports Assange Clinton did herself in, not WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks found Julian Assange said it was Hillary Clinton's own words that sunk her run for the presidency, not WikiLeaks' decision to publish them. Assange said he had mixed feelings about Trump's victory. This was a very interesting quote from Assange. He said, Hillary Clinton's election would have been a consolidation of power in the existing ruling class of the United States. Donald Trump is not a DC insider. He is part of the wealthy ruling elite of the United States, and he is gathering around him a spectrum of other rich people and several idiosyncratic personalities. They do not by themselves form an existing structure, so it is a weak structure which is displacing and destabilizing the pre-existing central power network within DC. And he says that then produces opportunities for change. So that's Julian Assange saying that. He's not exactly a right-wing guy. So again, these people who have freaked out, who've thrown the baby out with the bathwater in the aftermath of some of these Trump appointments, need to read that quote very carefully, because he's pointing out that even though these people are powerful people, as you would expect, they're not part of the DC power structure, so there is opportunity for change. That's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Alex Jones Show. Alex will be back tomorrow. Check out Nightly News tonight. And thanks for joining us. Breaking news at Infowars.com.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.